This was like the okay. Retrace steps. We should. What do we want to talk about this in the podcast or what?
Sure.
Okay. So it's all right. Starting.
I'm waiting for Dern to get back.
Oh, Dern's still AFK.
Because apparently 9 o'clock means everyone starts getting their shit together at 9 o'clock instead of starting. Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Licking Cast, or Scotch Cast. Yeah, Scotch Cast, right?
Yep, that's the
vodka
one.
Vodka Cast?
Yep.
Something?
The vodka cast.
My name's Thurbleton. I am not drinking scotch or vodka, but instead just soda, Sunkist. I want to go downtown to get some weird sodas, but couldn't have time today. Is Squiddle. What are you drinking?
Golden Monkey. Golden Monkey, as Victory. Always.
Lovely. And Durin is also joining me.
Hello.
And is drinking a
screwdriver. Oh, that worked out well last time.
So yeah, vodka cast. All right. Yes, everyone remembers the screwdriver episode. And rounding out the drinking table of panelists is Shinboy 630.
Yes, this panel of drinking experts. So I just have this water.
You're expertly consuming that water.
Hear you know you, sir. Beer has lots of water in it.
Shitty beer does.
Yeah. So we're, I guess, going to talk about video games. We've been kind of busy the past few weeks. PAX was one of those days or one of those weeks. But then I guess just other, you know, scheduling conflicts, people having to work. We didn't really want to give you guys a lousy show. So instead, we just did no show for a couple weeks.
Yeah, sorry. Since it was the end of the semester, I had hella projects to work on. But I took my last exam yesterday. So I'm all good.
Sweet, yeah.
And did you pass?
Last week, I was doing... Imagine shifting your normal sleeping schedule by like 6 hours for a week.
And which direction?
Any direction. For me, it was back 6 hours.
Okay.
So I pretty much slept as soon as I got home from work every single day for like 14 hours just to try and not die.
Not dying is a good goal.
Yes. I always start each day with not dying. Anyway.
YOLO, so don't die.
I guess we're going to talk about what we've all been playing to start things off, and then maybe go to news or what have you. Shinboy, what have you been playing?
All right, so it has been well documented on here that I don't really like a lot of Nintendo games. So I've been playing Nintendo games.
That's factual. Yeah, not a fan of Yoshi's Island or anything.
Nope, that's because it's a bad game.
Yep.
So I've been playing a Nintendo game, obviously.
What? Well, wait. Okay, what platform? Because I do see you play 3DSing and Street Passing a lot, especially when we were...
Yes, I do. This is on my 3DS. I don't have a Wii U because I only buy things that games come out on. So
Mario Kart 8 comes out later this month.
What?
I'll have you know. Mario Kart 8 comes out later this month.
I don't think that's a thing.
Is that still a relevant game?
Absolutely. Dude, that game looks amazing. I can't wait.
The esports hype for Mario
that's
Kart
right.
8 is
Mario
just
Kart TV.
Through the roof.
Who are you going to play Mario Kart 8 with?
My son.
How many controllers do you have?
I have the gamepad and a pro controller. And
you can use the pro controller. It doesn't require several of the like $8,000 gamepads?
No, because the system only supports up to two, and they don't sell them yet.
Wait, they still don't sell them?
They still don't sell them.
What?
Yeah.
Should I be more worried that they have to call it a pro controller to like make it feel more... special than it is. I mean, why pro?
You're looking too much into this. That's why pro.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Because it's the controller for core gamers that is only useful in casual virtual console games.
The other thing outside of this is and they've already confused the casual like basically interested gaming crowd by calling it the Wii U, which they already assume is just a peripheral for the Wii. So it just seems.
Well, like, see, they just pile on the confusion because, you know, you already have the Wii and then you have the Wii U And then you have the Wii Pro Controller, which cannot be confused with the Wii U Pro Controller, because the Wii U Pro Controller can only be used on the Wii U, and the Wii Pro Controller can only be used on the Wii. Not to even bring up the 3DS and the 2DS debacle.
Which is really tacked on to the DS debacle. Like DS to the 3DS, I mean.
Yeah, Nintendo's very, very good at conveying messages.
As we learned this week.
I'm interested to see this health initiative that they're putting forward to turn out to be like their new fitness game or something. Or like
I think
fitness
Nintendo game plus vitality sensor. Nintendo should worry about the health of the company before they worry about the health of their customers.
I don't know. Like the five of us are all they have left. They have to make sure we stay alive.
There's five of us?
Apparently. I met one of the other five.
Yesterday. Never mind. I thought you meant the five of us here. I'm like, there's only four of us here.
No. Drink's going insane. The five of us who are Nintendo fans still.
How strong did you make that drink?
Well, I had a pretty large margarita with dinner tonight, so.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Let's mix vodka and tequila. We're going to have a great time. Yep.
Hey, man.
So, Shinboy, tell me about this game.
All right. Imagine you are a pink ball with feet and hands, and you're
okay. I feel like that every day since my last name is Kirby.
Mm-hmm. I was going there.
Yeah.
I was gonna say now imagine that your name is Kirby, and then you were gonna say I don't have to, but
I'm living the dream of the world.
Man, being Kirby would be real weird.
It's I can't remember where, but I remember like some Japanese like I think it was Total Biscuit who like has these
Japanese man Total Biscuit.
No. Total Biscuit has these wood paintings or something of Japanese like Japanese renditions of Nintendo characters. You got Mega Man, all that, and then he showed off like this was during live stream. He showed off Kirby, which they called him the Soul Eater.
That makes sense.
And it was just this really dark turn on what I thought about Kirby.
That explains why he's so fucking happy in all of the Japanese cover art.
Yeah, he's actually the cover art for Kirby Triple Deluxe, which is the new Kirby game, which I've been playing, is the same in North America and Japan, if I recall. Yeah.
I love that in that recent interview, the guy was basically like, yeah, no, we make him look angry in America because that's what sells. Like, not even trying
it's
to
funny like, I think the angry ones actually kind of look better.
Yeah. He has more personality.
It's not just that. It's like a lot of times the cover is exactly the same except for the expression on his face. Mm-hmm. So he'll be like flying through the screen with like a giant sword in his hand and have like no look of aggression or anything at all on his face. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a new Kirby game.
So how is it compared to other Kirby games?
It's a Kirby game.
How is it compared to Epic Yarn?
I have not played Epic Yarn.
As the only Kirby game that I have ever played.
It's funny. My sister lives up in Pennsylvania. It's like a two-hour drive from me. And her fiancé is down in Texas because he joined the Air Force and he's at whatever school for his job. So she's been like kind of bummed and kind of bored. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go onto Amazon and order her, because she has the Wii up there, a copy of Kirby's Epic Yarn, because that was the happiest thing I could think of. She said she hasn't played it yet, because this was like last week.
Probably a good call, because that game is just pure joy.
I mean, it's a 2D platformer. I don't really know.
You
inhale people and you steal their powers.
Actually, you don't.
I'm sorry.
I thought you meant Epic Yarn. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Kirby's never
Epic
been.
Yarn. Don't you lasso them with your yarn?
Yeah, you lasso. Like, it's actually kind of fucked up because the enemies don't really hurt you in that game. It's actually incredibly hard to like die. I don't know.
That's every Kirby game for the most part.
Yeah,
but like there was a point in like one of the first levels, because I watched my son replay through that level over and over again. But there was a point in there where there are like two of the enemies and they're like leaning against each other and sleeping, and you can just go up and fucking murder them in their sleep.
Yep.
Like, I'm telling you, like, Kirby is a soul eater. It's just like,
not only are they sleeping, there are two of them and they're laying against each other and sleeping, and then there's like a little yarn heart above them. And when you grab one and kill them, the yarn heart goes away.
Oh no. Oh no, I'm really sad now.
Kirby's this a like most monster. Of the
dudes, most of the dudes that you like, you inhale and then steal the essence of their very soul. They're at least attacking you first.
Yeah, no, these guys don't even try to attack. They're sleeping and in love.
There are some new powers, apparently. Apparently, the archer is new, which I love archery in games. Not that it really matters. A 2D game.
Did you ever try probably archery?
No.
The most archery of games.
Yep. Are you sure? Sounds only like it's probably archery.
Yeah, it's got some archery and some other stuff.
Okay.
That's like quap for archery, right?
Yes, it is.
Pretty much. There's that, and there's like a giant horn that you basically get on your head. It's kind of weird. You look almost like, you know those beetles that have like, they look like they have hammerheads almost?
Stag beetles?
Yeah, sure. It looks like one of those. Other than that, you know, you still have like a whip, so Kirby's wearing an adorable cowboy hat. You still have the sword, which makes you put on a not Link cap, that green hat. That's totally not Link's.
Oh, totally. No.
Yeah. You know, you still inhale people and steal their powers. You still fight Wispy Woods as the first boss. It's a Kirby game. Except Wispy Woods is rainbow and fabulous.
So as somebody who continues to buy Nintendo things, maybe I'm not the... Maybe this is weird that I'm the one asking this, but how does Nintendo get away with this constantly?
Because
Anytime you hear of a new Nintendo game and you hear somebody play it, like they say they enjoyed it, and like, well, you know, how was it compared to this? They're like, well, you know, well, it was the same as this one was. You still, you know, you fought this guy at the end, and you did like it's just. I fall for it too. I just don't fucking understand how they do this. How they trick us every time.
Well, I don't know. Okay, on the one side, it's designed to be the kids' like platform. I think a lot of people like perceive that as what Nintendo is. And so, yeah, they're making the same thing over and over again to us. But for every, like, you know, minute generational change, that's the first game they get into. And so it has to be the exact same thing because that's like this tried and true method and people love it and all that. And then your point as well of you guys just keep buying Nintendo stuff.
So basically, they get away with it the same way the Power Rangers continue to exist.
Yeah, apparently they're making a Power Rangers movie.
I would say it's more mechanics based. I mean, Kirby hasn't changed much in his mechanics.
Neither has Mario when you really look at it.
Right, and neither has Pokemon. It's still the same concept, but people still buy it because they like the mechanics and they like the storyline that comes around it. I think it's the same thing.
Well, okay. I guess the real question then is maybe not so much how do they keep getting away with this, but more so how are they the only ones that are allowed to get away with this?
Because they're the best at it. They are the best at iterating on their own stuff.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
Like they like every single Nintendo franchise, whether it be Kirby, Mario, Zelda, Pokemon, what have you. The lone exception being Metroid, because Metroid Prime was such a massive change, is that they add enough to it to make it feel fresh, but still feel familiar.
Right.
What they're doing in Triple Deluxe is it's still, you know, a 2D platformer, but they're using the 3D to their advantage, as in they're like these little stars that you can hop onto that switch you to a different plane. Rayman Legends did some stuff like this. But obviously, there's no inherent 3D in there.
Right.
Well, you'll see a path in the background and like one of the sunstones that you can collect in the background there. And you need to try and figure out how to get back there to get it. Stuff like that.
So is this something that like isn't even playable on a 2DS? Or
no. Are there enough
other hints that you can still...
I mean, you can clearly see it. Just the 3D sort of enhances like the... It seems further back, whatever. It's like the visuals... make it look better. It doesn't really affect the mechanics. You can play with the 3D off, and it's not like you'll miss out on these things.
Okay.
So has Nintendo said that they're going to kind of not do 3D in their next handheld? Or
I think it's kind of a given at this point.
Is it a given? Because they've come out with some really good 3D.
They have, but like for instance, you know the you know, we'll talk about this here in a little while, but like the upcoming Pokemon releases, like straight up on that teaser thing, it says on there. Game playable in 2D only. Certain parts are playable in 3D.
Like X and Y were like that as well.
Yeah. So like Nintendo themselves are not prioritizing the 3D on their own games. I really highly doubt they're going to continue
it's
that.
It's funny, though, because if you look at it, like, Link Between Worlds looks great in 3D and runs great. Kirby looks great and runs great in 3D.
True.
So, like, a lot of Nintendo's games are really good at it, just everyone else is really
good. They are. I think the thing is, though, like, they are, but none of them really gain much out of it. And the 3D is the
Zelda
biggest reason.
Does.
Well, sure. But, like, and the 3D is the biggest reason for cost in that system. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think Nintendo's been kind of inherently bad at, especially with this generation, is that they come up with this, you know, this gimmick, and they essentially come up with it before the tech is really quite there yet, and kind of pay for it in the cost of the system and the performance of it. In the case of the 3DS, like, the performance is there. They do a good job with what they've done, but the cost was prohibitive enough that they and early enough that they could only do on one screen. So, like, your touchscreen, there is no 3D there. The tech wasn't there for them to be able to do that. And the system kind of suffers for that, because now you have to separate those two functionalities over two different screens. You can't actually use them in tandem. And the Wii U definitely is a similar idea with the controller. Like, the tech there was really interesting, but Nintendo was a little bit too early with it, and the tech was too young. And so they, you know, it's the biggest cost of that system in the first place. And, like, other people have kind of already done it a little bit better. Like, you look at the remote play on the Vita with the PS4. Granted, you know, you have to own a $200 handheld and a $400 console, but the tech is better, and better implemented than the Wii U ever could be. And I think that, you know, if they'd waited a little longer to implement that kind of tech, then the system would have been more affordable, and they would have been able to, you know, for instance, tether more than two potential controllers to that system without taking
it. It also would have been a marketing thing, instead of them coming out with something like the Wii U and being able to do that, and then Sony coming out and be like, hey, ours can do it way better, and you could even do it if you're, like, not at home. Sony could have done that, because it seems like they would have done that regardless of what Nintendo was doing, because they even had some of that with the PSP and the PS3.
Right.
Nintendo could have been like, hey, we can do this too, but you only need one machine to do it.
So do you see this kind of like where Nintendo went with the Game Boy Advanced, and then they were like, that didn't really work out, so we went with the Advanced SP, which is the clamshell, kind of back to their original Game Boy design. And then they said, well, we perfected it, now we're going to release the DS in its form, what it was. Do you think that 3D they'll drop it, they'll wait for the next generation of consoles, bring it back in a more advanced way?
I doubt it, because 3D in general outside of, like, movie theaters is not really as much of a thing.
Yeah, 3D's kind of died off. I think that they would be more
I think the big push now is 4K,
they'd be better,
right?
They'd be better putting that R&D into, you know, maybe a Virtual Boy 2.
Yep, they should call it that too.
That Total. Would be T-O-O?
T-O-O, yeah.
Yep.
Virtual Boy 2. Virtual Boy 2 for the Wii Us.
Wait, would it be like T with, like, maybe the U?
It's just the, it's just the Nintendo Us.
Yeah. The Nintendo Us.
The Nintendo Us?
The Nintendo Us. Yep.
Yes.
Like Nostradamus, but with the Nintendo.
You can have that one for free, Reggie.
But no, I think, you know, it's funny that people were talking about, you know, there were rumors that Nintendo was going to unveil a new console or new hardware of some kind at E3 this year. And then, you know, of course they've come on and said, no, they're not going to. But really, like, when you look at where Nintendo's gone with the Wii U and where the 3DS is clearly, like, the priority for them with their marketing and their games and everything else. I really think that what I said prior before these new consoles even launched is probably, you know, becoming more and more of a potential reality, in that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe by next year Nintendo, you know, gives us the first hints at their next console, and we see, like, a, you know, 2016, 2017 console release, because I think that the Wii U is not going to sustain them for another 10-year cycle alongside the PS4 and the Xbox One. They made a mistake sticking to the Wii as long as they did. So while, you know, there's talks of their, you know, releasing some kind of a lower end thing in these emerging markets, I wouldn't be surprised if within the next, you know, year after that or two, we already start hearing of Nintendo, you know, readying their Wii successor and it being hopefully, if they're listening correctly, more of what people want, which is, you know, more power, less gimmicks.
Well, true, but they have to break that stigma to the effect of, you know, Nintendo comes out with a new console and everybody goes, it's not going to be that great. And even if it is okay or good, well, Xbox and Sony or Microsoft and Sony are going to come out with something better. And why are we going to do
that? The reason they have that stigma is because they've been doing the gimmick thing. If they drop that immediately, that will be less likely to happen.
Well, it's not just Sony and whatnot are doing, or what Sony doing with the Vita, where it's like a mix between what Sony and Steambox does, where it's more like, you know, streaming to your peripheral or some sort of thing like that. Like,
well, they're definitely going to be doing something that is going to work with their handheld. It's pretty obvious given that they've kind of merged those two development teams now under one house. So I wouldn't at all be surprised if there was some, you know, pretty, tied together connectivity between their handheld and their console. But either way, you know, whether that goes that direction or not, I think that the biggest thing with Nintendo is the biggest thing that could help Nintendo, assuming they can properly market and sell this thing and convince everyone why they need to get one, is that they will have been out long enough that they're not going to burn too many people on the, you know, that have purchased a Wii U and feel like they maybe didn't get their money's worth out of it because they'll have had the Wii U around for probably 4 or 5 years at that point. But if the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One are planning on this, you know, 10-year cycle that they had planned for the 360 and PS3, then they can get this thing out there and have it be more powerful than the PS4 and Xbox One and not be irrelevant for the next couple of years. I mean, you know, the Wii U, they launched it, and it's technically more powerful than the PS3 and the 360, but fat lot of good that did when the following year they released their next consoles. Whereas this time around, you know, they can release that in, say, 2016, 2017, and you wouldn't see a potential PS5 or Xbox whatever until probably
the Xbox 2.
2020 at the earliest at this point. So it would give Nintendo a chance to maybe, you know, be the more powerful system in terms of specs. And then if they wanted to, you know, throw in some kind of, you know, hokey thing into it as well, they could potentially do that. But as long as the games can be ported over to their system in some, you know, reasonable fashion, Nintendo would be much better off that time around than the way they
even then approach. They don't have to even be more powerful. They can just be on par, and that'll leave them headroom to throw in some sort of gimmick.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. Go ahead.
I'll say, so what we're looking at is if Xbox were to come out with something with an x86 based processor that had no funky controller, just a regular game controller, and had, let's forget the library because we don't know if they're going to come out with something great when it launches, but if it just had that, that would be a no gimmick system.
If by the Xbox you mean Nintendo, yes.
Oh, Nintendo, sorry.
Something I have to say, because since Shinboy said the Xbox 2, it's been stuck in my head and it's hard to hear you guys with this thing rattling around. If and when the Xbox decides to drop the Kinect and lower the price, the pun has to be, and it will be, the X boneless.
God damn it.
Still waiting for the Xbox 180, because that's what it's been so far. Spinning everything. Turn around and everything. I just brought the conversation to a stop.
I know, that's why it's like I couldn't talk because that would just kept
Shin. What else have you been playing other than the Kirby game?
Yeah.
I've been playing Child of Light from Ubisoft.
I've heard mixed things about that. I mean, like,
Read Alex Navarro's review, because I could not disagree with it more.
How far into the game are you?
I think Steam will probably tell you like 4 hours, which is a good chunk of it.
Have you had to deal with the save corruption between, like, there was an update apparently that wrecked everyone's saves from like 6 hours?
No, I have not. I've not had that problem.
So you probably started after that update happened.
I thought that was a PS4 thing. I could be wrong.
It could be. I don't know.
I know I read it on like Gaff or something that a couple of people who were having that problem were on PS4.
So
but I haven't had that issue.
So I can judge your enthusiasm for this game. Is it on par with your feelings toward Bastion in the style of gameplay and how much you like it?
They're not even comparable.
Well,
it cannot be further apart.
Okay, you really like Bastion.
I do. Bastion's an excellent game.
Okay, would you say you really like it like you really like this game?
This
This game is very good. Do you like Child of Light, or do you like Child of Light?
Okay, Shinboy, rather than us try and tell you what you think of Child of Light...
Rather than throwing out really, really strange comparisons that I don't know how to make...
Please tell us what you think of Child of Light.
I think Child of Light is very good. Is that good enough?
Yeah, okay. Well, could you elaborate?
Nope, that's it. Nope, done. All right. Who's next?
How many stars might you give Child of Light on a scale of 1 to 5 with no hazzies?
Currently, I would give it 4 stars.
Okay, what about on a 19.5 scale?
On a 19.5 scale?
With yeah, so, 4 points
so
for...
1 through 10, but you can go halves.
Okay, 1 through 10 with halves?
Game, I mean, I'll probably just...
I mean, I would probably still just do 8, which would be 4 stars.
Okay, all right.
So,
there you have it.
5-star, 5-point system is the best system.
Expect a review at plugandplay.com.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen because I think I let that. Did I let that domain expire? Probably.
I let mine expire, and I'm upset.
Anyway, now that I'm done with class, I can actually dig deep into that. That other site and actually learn how all of that CSS works. Anyway, Child of Light is exactly the game that I needed at this moment because it's like RPG light.
Yeah, you are an RPG enthusiast, but I mean, like, this is for you know, more or less argument's sake, this is a video game drought season.
Yeah, and like the other RPGs I've been playing were like Final Fantasy X, Bravely Default. I played like the first few hours of Dragon Age Origins. Those are all very in-depth. There are a lot of numbers to take into account. This is not that.
Yeah. This apparently it's just like you fly around and the combat is pretty straightforward?
Not quite. It's apparently like a lot like the Grandia games, which I have not played. But there are still have all of your stats. You still have strength and defense and magic defense and HP and NP and all that. It's just that's not as important. It's more about timing because the way it works, there's a bar across the bottom which everyone's on.
Yeah, it's the order like who goes when, I think.
Yeah, it's not exactly a turn order because everyone moves independent of everyone else based on your speed stat, which is not really. You can't really do much to change it. You can give someone an item to increase it by like 1 or something like that. But it doesn't make that big a difference. At least the base level gems increase it by 1. Basically, once you get to a certain point, which is clearly marked, the bar goes from like blue to red. And the red is like your casting thing. And each move or spell or whatever has a speed associated with it. So like fast, medium, slow. And that determines how long you are in that casting area before the action happens. And if you get hit while you're in that area, you get interrupted and get sent back to like the middle of the bar. So it becomes a lot of like, oh, I could hit this guy with this big, you know, powerful spell, but he might get his move off or he might heal or whatever. If I just do this normal attack, which isn't going to do as much damage, but it's very quick, I could interrupt him. But that's a bit of a strategy to it.
So it's more reactionary wait and see sort of button play, or is it more like spam, 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 try and get your moves in?
There's no spamming because there's nothing you can do to really...
Okay, not spam, but like, are you constantly juggling between mechanics, or are you wait, like, is it a wait and gate, wait game?
You can play it either way. Like,
which way did you play it, or which way do you enjoy
I've been playing it as like a wait. Like, I usually, the way I play RPGs is I take my time in combat. Sort of, I like to sort of know everything, as in, what is this thing strong against, what is this thing weak to, etc. So, I've been taking my time sort of using slower moves, but with certain elements applied to them to see if, oh, this thing's weak to that or whatever. So, I don't know, I also like to sort of wait and see what type of moves the enemy has. So maybe I'll let them go once or twice, which has backfired, especially on boss fights. Yeah. It's sort of reactionary because you have to be like, oh man, this thing increased its speed. I really have to focus him down, or okay, I could hit him with his bigger attack, or am I actually going to have time to attack? Because there's a block which greatly reduces damage and that's instant. So you can't get interrupted while casting it. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm looking at this bar. Because when it comes to your turn, it pauses. So you can pick whatever you want to do.
That's nice.
Okay.
So it's not super hectic. Like I said, you can sort of, you know, take a look at the bar and be like, okay, I know this guy is very fast. I know his attack is very quick, and sort of game plan from there. So against like a boss, I'd be like, okay, he's very fast. My attack is also fast, but will I have enough time to hit him? And you can, you know, either risk it and risk getting interrupted while also taking full damage, or block, not get the attack off, not do any damage to him, but not take as much damage. You sort of have to weigh your options.
Hmm. Now, the other thing that was touted about this game was it used, I want to say, the same art engine as Rayman. Like, how is the art style?
It is the UbiArt framework.
That's what
it's called. The artwork's beautiful. It looks very good. It looks really good in motion, too. Because a lot of the characters are sort of, they look almost like cartoon drawings. I don't mean that negatively. I mean, just sort of the style that's drawn in.
No, I mean, like, another game that people would argue is like cartoon drawings was something like the Banner Saga, which is also beautifully done and plays a lot around with the, like, really animating a 2D plane.
This is more like brighter colors and really, like, thick outlines on everything.
Okay. Well, yeah, different art style.
Yeah.
It's not Nordic.
No.
But like,
I mean, a lot of it is textured like a crayon, almost. Very storybook.
But the animation quality is really nice.
Yeah, everything's really good. Aurora's hair is pretty crazy. It's like Tressfex status, except not really. Not actually Tressfex. It's just sort of... There's like one graphics option, and it is, I think, oh God, what is it? Realistic simulation is the option. And all that does is change the physics simulation on her hair. That's literally all it changes.
All right.
That is the only graphics option in the whole game, outside of the resolution.
And another question I had for you was like the story. Well, you're only partway through it, but how's it been so far?
The story is interesting. The story is interesting. I like it because it's dark. I enjoy darker fairy tales. Like Brad mentioned it on the Bobcast, and it's like literally the opening cutscene, so it's not really a spoiler. Fuck you. Is Aurora dies at the very beginning, or at least it is implied. Because it talks about how she catches a chill, I think is the phrase that's used. And then it shows, like, father weeping or something.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
So, yeah. Then she wakes up in Lemuria, something like that. Some combination of those letters. Yeah. It's interesting. There's, like, you need to go capture the sun, the moon. It's like the sun, moon, and stars or something to defeat the Dark Queen. Standard fairy tale stuff.
Okay, so it is standard fairy tale stuff. And I think, out of the four of us here, Durin or maybe Squid will be the most qualified for this. Both of them interacting with the young ends a lot more than Shimbo and I.
I hate kids.
Yeah. would this be a game like either a young child could play? Like, you know, it's a young girl who wants to get into video games or like video games. Or is this probably not for them? It's too complex, too dark.
I would not say this is like kids' first video game because it can get complicated, especially when you get to the part where there's like crafting, and if you combine these three gems, you get one gem, and if you take that gem and combine it with these two more, you get a different gem, and that does a different thing depending on whether you sock it into a weapon, armor, or accessory.
But is that like... Some people have told me that's not super, like, it's very minor adjustments.
It's not necessary.
It's like 5% fire.
What I did was, like, I pretty much, there was a triple boss fight, which was the one that was on the floor at PAX. I don't know if you walked past their booth.
No, I did not.
It's basically,
were they in the indie section?
No, they were in the Ubisoft booth.
Then I probably didn't walk past them.
They had that, and they had Valiant Hearts, like, set up on a whole bunch of stations. And then it was, like... three-headed snake thing that each head was a different element. So what I did was after I wiped on the first time, because I'm playing on hard, I pretty much gave each one of my three party members a thing that gave them one of those three elements and pretty much just used them to attack the opposite one. Basic stuff like that. Nothing crazy. Yeah. I don't know. It might be a decent game to sort of, if the kid has played some games before, go, hey, try this, see what you think. But it's not like, say you have a small child, And it's just like, you know, try this here video game. I don't know if that would recommend it.
What if they're really into like Pokemon or
if they can understand the RPG mechanics of Pokemon outside of the gotta collect all these crazy monsters part of Pokemon, then sure.
Like okay. It just seems like a good like a Disney fairy tale type of game. A bit darker per se, but yeah.
Yeah, but like sort of if this child is like outside of the collecting thing, just goes, okay, I want to use this guy because he's fire and this Pokemon's grass, or I want to use this move on this guy because he has very high attack, something like that, basic stuff like that, then sure.
Okay. All right. Cool.
I don't see why not. I'm going to play more of that. I meant to play more today, but I got sucked into playing It'll Be the Show, which is a baseball game. I don't really need to talk about it.
It is the baseball game.
It is the baseball game. Some parts of that game look really bad, and some parts of that game look really, really good. It feels like a growing pains year, which makes sense, considering it's their first one on the new machine. So, yeah.
Is that all you've been playing, much. Or is like anything else? What was your one big highlight from PAX?
One big highlight from PAX? Hearing that you got double frauded by Dave Lyon was pretty funny.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I'm talking like getting to try the Rift was pretty neat because they had the second dev kit there. So I messed with the motion tracking, like the camera stuff of it, like leaning in and whatnot. That was pretty neat. I also didn't get pink eye, so that was a plus.
Yeah.
Yay!
I intentionally did not, like, I checked out a lot of, like, my biggest highlight, I'm going to say, is probably Enemy Starfighter. Mm-hmm. And I talked a bunch with the developer, but intentionally did not sit, like, wait in line and put that on because that was probably going to be bad.
Yeah. Oh, I also, both at PAX and since, have played Fract, which is very neat.
You want to talk, like, well, has anybody else played Fract? You want to go back and forth on that, or you want to say a little bit?
I played it there, but I have not played it since when I got
home. I have seen very little of Fract, but heard nothing but good things.
Fract is the only thing that I don't like is, at least in the, there's three areas, at least initially. There's like the red, blue, and the green area. I did the red area first, and I don't know if this is the way for all of them. There's a big puzzle at the end. That's just a big board of all the synth controls, and you have to set each thing to a certain thing. I guess a lot of things, but you just set each control to a certain point. And you could try and figure it out because as you get it right, it actually sounds better. It doesn't sound terrible. But the way you're supposed to do it is there are a lot of towers around that area that you have to go into like the interact mode, and it just has an image, which I saw one, and I didn't realize it's what it was. It sort of has the same interface as the say it'll have like a semicircle and it'll be, you know, X percentage filled in, and you're supposed to know or remember that when you get to that big board, you have to look at that specific semicircle and fill it in that same amount. So it's kind of obtuse and it's kind of a pain in the ass if you didn't realize what you had to look for. But other than that, so that's my only real complaint, which is not a major one.
So it's pretty cool. It's not on the top of my radar, so I'll probably just like, you know, grab it on a Steam sale or something.
But if you don't enjoy like music or specifically that type of like synthesized music, it's probably not going to be a thing for you because the puzzles mostly are simple. They mostly involve manipulating sound. Okay. So.
Yeah. Well, this is a very cool Shinboy. It's
moving a block or a platform also changes its sound. You have to go not only what looks right, but also what sounds right. It's neat.
Yeah. I love that more games are interacting with, like, you know, sound in interesting ways. Okay, moving on. Squiddle, what have you been playing?
Hi. So I've not been playing many games since PAX. And
you've been playing the game Real Life Work Simulator.
He's been playing the game of having bad opinions about Jar Jar Binks.
I did not realize that he was supposed to be in there for the kids. I'm thought just he gonna was say, meant to be dumb.
This means that you are a child. That's basically what this means.
Yes, I will always be a child at heart, and I will not ever deny that. Deranged, but always a child at heart. Anyway, last game that I played at PAX, Bravely Default, I picked back up on my trip because I had never done street passing before. So this was my first street pass.
You had never had a 3DS before, right?
Yes, I bowed down to peer pressure. Kids, don't do that. And purchased a 3DS.
Well, no, but like when one person calls you a horse, you know, you shrug it off. When two or three call you a horse, you end up getting a 3DS, right?
That's normally how it works.
That's how the phrase goes?
Nay. See what I did there? See that?
Yeah. I don't know. Could you explain it?
Okay. No, I'm not. We're done there.
So how come you, first off, you don't see a lot of street passing where you live? Why is that correct?
That is true. That and because I don't carry it with me every day when I commute 23 miles to work and then back. And in driving in Texas, you don't actually ride a train or commute a rail to get to work. So there is not much street passing.
You guys don't have like an inner city train commute bus bike riding plan like every city does?
No, because that's un-American.
Oh, yeah, every city.
That is un-American to not have your own vehicle and drive 20 miles
to work. Get out here with your Curly Q mustaches and your fedoras and scarves.
You don't take the BART to work. That's what a hero does, right? They take the BART.
The BART.
Yeah.
It's a BART.
Bay Area Rapid Transit, yep.
Oh, okay. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, that's what that stands for?
I assume so.
That would be pretty good if it was.
I actually don't know. I just assume it is.
But anyway, you were at PAX and you did a crap ton of street passing.
I was obsessed with street passing. I think the third day there, I had to the second day there, I had to curb myself to not consistently look down and go, oh, I got 10 more friend requests. By the way, Nintendo, another one of your faults is that you don't have more than plus 10 friend requests or pass before you can't get
street passes.
Yeah.
You can't get.
Yeah. They cap that. Passes.
Dumbest thing ever. Stupid company. Anyway, I digress on that. So I did Bravely Default because I realized you could street pass with Bravely Default and build up your city. And I also realized that you could collect street passes for people with characters that could OP you through the entire game.
I'm sitting here laughing because that's not going to last.
I'll get to that. Hold on. And so I had a great time playing that, passing people, getting more, doing stuff. And I didn't realize that you could actually save the high-end ones and discard the low-end ones of people that you've passed and called in.
The way it works is in your town, when you street pass people, what they call a nemesis shows up. It's basically a boss. And they have different levels depending on how far the person that you street pass with is into the game. Some of them will be like level 20, but then some of them will be like level 99. So you can throw away the level 20 ones and keep the level 99 ones. You can fight them later or fight them and get more XP or whatever.
Right. So I went from level 3, which I had not played this game much, to level 20 by the time that I left and just calling in. Every single person that I had a character that was probably 50,000 plus damage each hit. And I knew that if I could get by calling in someone that had 999,000 damage and maybe cast them on someone that would not get killed immediately, I would get that character. And if it was a level 50, I would get five levels in one kill. So I basically broke the game. And I got home and I stopped playing because I couldn't have fun breaking the game. And I realized that I had more fun breaking the game and playing it that way than caring anything about the storyline. I just wanted to be the most powerful person in the world. So essentially, if I could have a Game Shark for my GBA, I would love that.
You are the worst. I hate people that play games that way.
Did you
so
read
much.
The PC Gamer article or listen to the Giant Bombcast interview Dump Truck about the whole cheating scene on PC? You might want to give that a read because you fit that profile.
Well, hold on. So yes, I do fit that profile because I do subscribe to a cheat site where I can download trainers from, which is a bad thing, possibly. But there are games that I play, BioShock Infinite, that I don't want to cheat on. I want to play it for the story. I want to see what they have designed. If I find a game that I don't like and I purchased it and it's not very fun, then I will start doing my cheat thing to enjoy the storyline because you've made the rest of it too complicated that I don't care or I don't have the time, a little bit of both, to sit through and enjoy it.
If you don't have the time,
it's not a good game, is what you're saying.
I think what he's saying is that he didn't realize that he would be buying an 80-hour-long JRPG.
Yes, that's the other thing too. Yeah,
he wants to experience that story, but he can only commit 20 hours to it, sort of thing. Yeah. With his busy schedule.
So if Bravely Default was a free-to-play game with microtransactions,
I wouldn't do it. No, because fuck microtransactions. I do not believe in them.
He instead believes in a subscription service of sorts.
To get trainers.
but only if I choose to. Okay? So if I choose
to. That doesn't make it different. That doesn't change anything.
If you're playing a free-to-play game,
if you're playing a free-to-play game and you decide that you're not moving through the game quick enough, you choose to go and pay for those microtransactions.
No, because people dumb their story down based on the fact that you're going to have to.
Story down. Oh, God. What's going on?
Oh, I love you
guys. Dumb story down in a free-to-play game. What are you talking about? It's pure nonsense.
I feel that they make it so that you'd have to buy in free-to-play to enjoy the game, as if I don't have time to play the game, I want to be able to make my way through.
Guys, I think Dota would be much better if they didn't dumb down the lore.
See, I think he has a point, because I think there could have been a lot more character depth in Mighty Quest for Epic Loot.
I know, right?
Not just $20 for the game instead of with the microtransactions.
Okay, maybe I'm getting it all wrong. So
maybe
whatever. y'all can just. All right, there you go.
I'm saying you didn't realize what you were buying. My point here.
You are right. I mean, I still play the new Zelda game. I can't think of the name of it. Link Between Worlds. And I enjoy it, because I enjoy Zelda. I enjoy those games. Yeah, Bravely Default was definitely something I was stepping out of my realm of, my comfort zone with. And knowing that I could do that and I could go, okay, this is how it works. I kind of get a better idea of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's Bravely Default has a scale or a slider to show how often you want to get in random encounters. It's definitely designed for long play, which Squiddle is not subscribed to.
Yeah, because that game has, I believe, 7 or 8 chapters. I'm in the middle of chapter 4, and my play time is at like 35 hours.
Well, I thought you would beat that already.
No, it's really long. I'm underleveled.
And that was my fear, that everybody said that you could, you may be underleveled, and that was like, oh man, I got to get really higher leveled so I can enjoy it. Now, granted, I'm at a point where I could open it up, play it, and be fine for probably a good chunk of time. But I still have that fear that, I'm going to be underleveled at some point and I'm going to have to then grind, and I don't want to do that.
Honestly, their combat system is good enough that I haven't had to redo boss fights more than like 1 or 2 times, like that often, simply because the way they've set up their jobs and the way they've set up their turn system, you can tough it out.
Okay, well, when I find time to sit down, I will revisit it. I'll keep going.
I have a funny story about that, actually. Are you far enough into the game where you know who Victor and Victoria are? It's like Victor's the doctor and Victoria's like the little girl. She's like a mage.
No, I got to the point where I met the old dude in the woods and.
Whoa.
The sage?
The sage. And I've gotten the first item that you need, or shard, diamond, whatever it is.
Okay, the crystal.
So crystal, yeah. So I'm there. The oasis area has been cleared, and now I'm on to my next.
They should have introduced Victor and Victoria at that point. They're on the council anyway. Big surprise, since they're shown as bad guys in the beginning. You fight them in a double boss fight at some point, and this double boss fight is right after. I'm going to spoil some of this. It's not really important to the main plot as far as I can tell. It's just sort of to their characters. That it is like Victor's life goal. He was pretty much assigned to keep Victoria alive because she has a weird debilitating condition that is sort of affected by her magic. And it has been like his life's mission to keep her alive. And they're both annoying as hell. And I can't stand them, especially together, because he is like super crack the whip when it comes to her. So when I had to fight them as a double boss fight, I decided that regardless of which one was the bigger threat, I was going to kill Victoria first. So he had to watch her die, and he had to know,
damn.
He had to die knowing that he failed his life's mission.
That's
wow.
That's cold. It's cold as that. I like it.
I mean, I got it.
When you actually do that, because depending on who you kill first, the other one has some dialogue. He just pretty much just yells her name really loud and just realizes that he doesn't care anymore, and then he's super easy to beat.
Oh, that's a
Motoko. Wow.
But I mean, I did read up on how to break the game because that's how I was with this game. In fact, because
it's a JRPG, so you can break every single one of those.
Sure. And so as soon as I got the thievery skill, I read up that you can actually fight this one boss, do steal 5 times. As your action, and then run away with all your other characters, and then just keep trying to do that over and over to get this one elixir. And I found one of these elixirs, I don't remember what it was, that sold for like 50,000 gold or whatever it is in their game money. And I made it on my way home, my life's goal, to keep trying to find and figure that out. I never mastered it, so I never
did. What you can do is once you get the merchant, you can, I forgot what it was. You can have everyone auto battle to the point where they'll do damage, but won't kill it. You can do something where the enemy will heal, but you'll make money, and you can do that infinitely. You can just set everyone to auto battle, and you'll have infinite money. I don't know the details of it, but you can do that.
As much as I love discussing 80-hour-long intricate details of let's. Squiddle, you're pretty much good. What was your highlight of PAX? Was just playing Bravely Default, right?
No, I mean, my highlight at PAX, and it's probably going to be weird. My highlight was actually being able to take a picture as a group of all of us with Jeff Gerstmann. That was my highlight.
Right? No, of Jeff Gerstmann just like shrugging and like, meh.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Because last year we didn't get a group picture, and all of us realized afterwards that we didn't get a group picture.
Yeah, so that was probably my highlight. And talking to Brad and mentioning Victory Golden Monkey to him and just ecstatic that he knew what that was. And it just made my heart melt. And I absolutely love him more than ever for knowing that beer. And that's weird, I know, but for me that was happiness.
Yeah, it's cool that someone you respect, like, you know, on the internet is also a, you know, connoisseur of stuff you like.
Yep. So that was, I mean, and I'm going to go into a weird thing. Meeting everyone that I met from Giant Bomb and finding out that everyone was like really relaxed and chill, just, it did surprise me, to be honest. And like, just, I think we sat there talking to Drew for probably a good 10 minutes at one point. And he was such a cool guy. And that was like, oh, awesome. Okay. They're all down to earth. I like that. That's pretty cool.
I like when
they're just dudes. Yeah.
I don't know if you were there when we were sitting there eating lunch and Patrick was over nearby, and it was after the debauchery that was Friday night. And then we're just like, hey, Patrick. And he just responds with, these nachos are so good. And just goes back to what he was doing.
No, I read about that and I wish I was there for that one. That would sound awesome. But yeah, that's really it for me. Game wise, I have not been doing much. Catch me once Watch Dogs comes out. I'm definitely
Watch underscore dogs.
Yeah. I did buy a new keyboard just for that game, technically. So I am ready and willing to play that game.
But you still haven't gotten a controller for Spelunky. Is that right?
I will not get a controller for my computer until the Xbox One controller comes out for PC
support.
That's
a bad idea. You're stubborn.
No, I am. You're figuring this out?
No, it's because there's probably support for the Xbox One controller. It's just not official.
Yes, that's correct. I don't want to install custom ROMs. I don't want a custom wrapper.
Need to do that if you just get a 360 pad. Hell, I bought a 360 pad.
Well, I had one, and the wireless died. It didn't want to work anymore, and I said,
"So you get a wired one?"
No, I don't want to invest any. I want my money to go to the next device. I don't want to spend any money on it right now.
Man, so I was in. Let me tell you this story about the 360 controller. I was like, "Do you guys have 360 pads?" And he was like, "Let me check." He's like, "We only have these, you know, GameStop branded ones, and they're like $35, and they're used." I'm like, "That's." I walk next door to Best Buy. I bought a wired official 360 pad for $40, brand new. GameStop is great.
Never buy a used controller.
You know, in other news, GameStop is getting out of games.
Yes.
Yeah. That checks out.
I guess you could say I did play another game recently. Was it Forza Horizon on the PS4?
Forza is a Microsoft game.
Mm. Okay. Well,
Drive Club's not out yet.
You're going to play Drive Club. No.
Need for Speed?
Yeah. Maybe I was on a Xbox One.
The controller was great. Have you played?
Forza 5? That's on the Xbox One.
Track Mania.
No one's playing Track Mania. One's played Track Mania in like a year.
No one likes Track Mania right now.
Track Mania is great. I played Track Mania in the last 6 months. I will have you know.
Track Mania is fucking great. You hold your tongue over there.
It is great.
No, it was Forza. I did play it at Best Buy. And that's when I figured out I do like the Xbox One controller and wanted to wait for it. So
I'm sure it's fine. I haven't actually used one. Very cool. Mostly got the 360 pad for Rayman.
All right.
Because the DS4 wasn't working.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for me. That's my game. So,
Darren, you did not go to PAX.
I did not go to PAX.
So what was your highlight of PAX?
What was your favorite moment of PAX? Yeah.
My favorite moment of PAX was the fact that the Giant Bomb panel was streamed live and I got to see Dave Lang get bopped.
Ah, indeed.
Which, I mean, talk about trust between frenemies. Drake's like, don't worry. I'm going to hit you over the head with this bottle. It's going to be sugar. It'll be fine.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll be sure to grab the right one. There were many bottles on that table.
That was pretty good, though. Check out the highlight on Twitch or YouTube or something. Someone's got it.
I was glad that I was home alone when I was watching that because my wife probably would have thought I was insane at how hard I was laughing at my computer in silence because I was wearing a headset. Like I said, I wasn't there, so I didn't play any of the games that were at PAX or anything else. So I pretty much just, I saw the Giant Bomb panel, and then I saw the, whatever the fuck that thing that passed for a panel was that Jeff was on Sunday. The YouTube clip sharing panel.
Man, I went to that last year and it was meh. So I went to Vinny and Rich Gallup's produced panel at the same time.
I enjoyed that. What did you think?
Was that recorded?
The audio is.
Oh man.
Audio and the slides.
I guess we'll put that in the links for the show.
Well, hold on, I need to open shownotes.txt.
You'll need to send that to me at some point tonight then, because I wanted to hear that and I watched the YouTube thing instead and mistakes were made. Because Eric Pope is a goddamn monster.
I still haven't watched that.
Oh, you know what? You're probably better for it because you are not on the list that all the rest of us are on now after having seen that. That was pretty much my PAX experience was just seeing those two panels. And it was really cool watching the Giant Bomb one live. Like, literally, I watched it right at the end of it. I texted Thurb and then he called me from the panel. Like, being able to have those reactions immediately.
Yeah, did you enjoy the package of Cards Against Humanity stuff that I have in an envelope and still haven't gotten around to sending because I hate going to the post office?
It is theoretically great, and I thank you again for
such
that.
A wonderful experience.
I need to get your
packages both for you and for Shinboy.
Thurb, you should use stamps.com.
You should, small businessman. Duren, were you on Mumble when I got Jeff to yell at everyone on Mumble?
I was really confused at first because, as you know, anyone might have guessed, Jeff doesn't tend to frequent our Mumble.
That's true. Yeah.
You don't say.
So I heard this voice,
especially under the pseudonym of Shinboy 630.
Oh, it was. I think it was Shin Mobile was what I was on at the time. Yeah. It was on my phone.
I hear this voice come from Mumble, and my immediate reaction is I recognize that voice. Who is that? I don't know. Oh, that's Jeff. The fuck is Jeff doing on Mumble? Like, I was playing a game at the time, so I didn't realize that you were even logged in.
Hmm.
Like from the show floor or whatever. I had just gotten off the phone with Thurb. So like that just completely fucking threw me off. Like I didn't realize it was Jeff until like after he was already gone.
Yeah. thought that was pretty funny, though. Because I walk up to him, I'm just like, I have a strange request. Can you just yell something at these people on Mumble? He was like, sure, okay. Give me a second to think.
Yes, that was interesting. And then, like, when I talked to Thurb, I think he, like, oh, no. No, you got off of Mumble very quickly because you saw Squiddle over talking to Brad about beer and wanted to go join, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, PAX was great. I'm actually excited about the potential, potentially being able to go to a PAX South and hope that Giant Bomb can also make it.
Yeah, you and Squiddle will both enjoy that.
I was looking. That is the weekend after my classes start. If it was the weekend before, I would have taken the 2 days to drive down.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Duran, if you can make it, you are more than welcome to crash at my place for the weekend and not have
I'm going to do everything I can because it's pretty much the easiest chance I have at getting to a PAX. So I'm pretty excited.
But anyway, it's neither here nor there. What games have you been playing, sir?
As per usual, I've been dabbling in some MMO-ness.
Okay, since you as previously mentioned before recording, I'll probably put in a pre-roll. You're in the WildStar open beta.
Yeah, that game has turned out to be better than I originally thought. I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of glad Shinboy's going AFK during this part because he has differing opinions of that game based on his experiences.
It is open, right?
It's straight up open now. You can just go and download that.
Okay. They are looking for people to test those servers.
It's weird because they're doing like a 10-day open beta that ends on May 18th, and then the game doesn't launch until like June 9th with like a head start of May 31st. So there's still going to be like a 2-week period in there where like open beta will be ended, but like head start doesn't start or whatever. It's kind of weird. But no, I'm actually really surprised that I ended up getting into the game, like enjoying it, because I've been in the, you know, NDAs be damned. I was in the closed beta, for like well over a year. So I was in pretty early on and
back then it was a pile of crap notes.
It was very, the combat wasn't even close to there. Initially, like things took way too long to kill. There was very little sense of direction. Did a lot of wandering, which a lot of that is very, you know, indicative of an early beta, obviously. But the biggest thing that really kind of killed it for me was actually the combat. It just didn't feel very responsive, and things, like I said, took way too long to kill. The effects weren't very flashy. The abilities weren't that great, and there were too many of them that kind of held you in position, which is not good for an action MMO type of combat. But like in the last, I would say probably 3 or 4 months, right before they started doing the weekend closed betas, I kind of checked back in with it, and they basically fixed like everything that I disliked about the game. So I actually got in there and, you know, it was really enjoying the combat. The questing is much, much improved over the way it was before. And yeah, like I just every aspect of it, I'm enjoying a lot more than I was before. It feels like, not surprisingly, given that, you know, a lot of the key people behind it worked on Vanilla WoW, it does feel very WoW inspired. But I feel like in all the right ways, and they've made, you know, the proper improvements and stuff that you would expect out of a modern MMO.
When I saw it at PAX last year. And I was really drawn to it. I liked all the colors. I liked the way they did things. And it was very like, you know, I want to try that out. One of the things that they couldn't answer for me at the time, when I asked one of their PR reps or guys there, I said, is this going to be free to play or pay to play? I mean, what's your model? And they go, we're not talking about our model this time. So what have they decided?
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird that it took them so long to decide to finally come out with it, because I guess it's not that weird. They are doing a pay-to-play model. It is a subscription-based, but they are they're basically adopting Eve's model. So they have a subscription that you can pay, you know, per month, $15 a month to play the game. But then they also have this like in-game currency that you can get called cred that you can basically buy with gold. And essentially the way the cred works is similar to like, the way I guess gem buying and selling works in Guild Wars 2. Where like players can buy cred with real money and then sell it for gold, two other players inside the game, and those other players can buy that cred and use that to pay for their subscription. And by buy that cred, I mean they're buying it with their gold.
I wonder so if you're a hard player.
It could be, yeah.
Because well, like, that seems to work very well for Guild Wars, at least.
Yeah, and as far as I know, that's the only thing that that currency is used for. Like, it's not like it's something that you're going to buy, you know, chests with or anything. The game, that's one thing they've put a lot of emphasis on, given that they are going with a subscription model, is that they're not hiding anything behind paywalls. They have a plan for 28-day increments on updates. So we should get an update about once every month. But like one of the biggest things they've kind of been pushing when people have been talking about the subscription base or subscription model as opposed to free to play is that they're also, and I would definitely agree with this from what I've seen so far. And granted, I haven't seen everything, but that they are definitely one of the more feature complete or feature rich MMOs to have launched in modern years. You see a lot of MMOs that tend to launch fairly anemic on the end game side of things. And so like players will, you know, blast through the content and a month or 2 months in, they've got nothing left to do. There's no content being released and they just move on to the next thing. It seems like they're actually trying really hard to make sure that players don't do that. Now, obviously we don't know what post-launch is going to be like, if they're actually going to make their 28-day updates or not, but
I don't see why not.
Yeah. Guild Wars can do that. I think they were doing about 1 month. Is that all right? At one point,
and then once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, once every 2 weeks. So yeah, I mean, there's no reason they couldn't do it, and especially if they're charging a subscription fee. If they're saying they're going to do 28 days, they better damn well do 28 day updates, and they better be meaningful. But at least assuming they're able to do all of that, which, you know, granted, might be making a lot of assumptions, it does definitely, you know, potentially justify a proper subscription-based model and what you can possibly get out of that, especially with the idea that like nothing is being hidden behind the paywall. They're not doing things like WoW where they're selling mounts for money on top of everything else. Like everything is available to you as a player if you pay them your subscription fee.
That's cool.
Here's something that has always I found, like, you know, lesser invested MMOs, like the one, like not the AAA kind, I guess, could probably pull this off. But like, you have these big distances between like content updates, and it, like, why not just have like, this is sort of taking a page, it's always going to get mad from Dark Souls, but like the idea of either a developer or a player just like randomly getting, you know, opted to be a giant boss in like a field or something, like, you know, a world boss, but it's not like a set thing. It's just like it adds randomness,
like,
to the game,
and like literal dynamic events is what you're
saying. Like the DM is like, all right, well, I just spent the day coding, I got an hour for lunch, I'm gonna spawn in as like, you know, some giant demon thing and try and destroy this town.
And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, like, that it's funny that something like that hasn't happened yet, because, like, before there were MMOs, I don't know if anyone else here ever played MUDs, but, like,
those were old MUDs. I never played MUD.
They're essentially text-based MMOs. They were MMOs before there were MMOs. And, like, you know, I played on one, and that was something that happened. Like, the mods of the game, which, you know, were gods, would just kind of come in occasionally and just, like, you know, do things. Like, they would, you know, communicate with other players, maybe role play a little bit here and there, or they would, like, for instance, a friend of mine who was very heavy into that mud, he was very heavy into the community. The server did like kind of server wipes every couple of years where they just wipe everyone's characters and everyone would start over. But they would always do these big events at the end of the server reset. And in this event, he had, you know, befriended the mods and everything enough, that what they did is they turned his character essentially into a demigod, put him into the middle of a labyrinth of, you know, enemies and everything else. And it was the job of every other player in the mud to traverse his labyrinth, defeat his minions, and eventually get to him in the center of the labyrinth and attempt to kill him. And it all like culminated in him literally just destroying the world. And this was just like a friend of mine just logging in and doing this event.
Yeah. And it's like, it's, the idea of the subscription, like Eve has been able to pull this off because they provide like crazy content that we read about all the time and I never actually want to do. And that's like the developers aren't even doing that. They're just giving players the power to do that.
Right.
And like I realize with the more fantasy, like, you know, those guys want to create and sort of cultivate this world. So why don't they take a more direct role as a, like a DM, so to speak, and make those things happen?
Yeah, I guess it's you know, it comes down to for a development like this, like they would need, it wouldn't be your development team that would be doing those things. It would be like maybe some branch of your like maybe community team or something, or like you would have, you know, your GMs would also have that secondary function. But the problem is that, you know, the scale that you tend to play these on, I mean, you know, the mod that I was talking about, there was, even in its heyday, never more than maybe 30 or 40 people logged in at the same time.
Yeah.
So the mods didn't have a whole lot that they needed to moderate. And so they had a bit more free time. Whereas now, you know, most MMOs, you're dealing in thousands of players at once per server. So there's just not really the time that any one individual would have for that. You would essentially have to have a team that was designated just to that, which.
Well, that's when people come to expect things like that happen. Like it's if people are expecting that sort of thing to happen, that's makes it less random. And again, that goes back to the whole Dark Souls thing of like, this is going to use Dark Souls terms to describe it. But if there's a covenant that would just let people have a chance to become these bosses, to troll people or people to cooperatively help.
That great MMO Dark Souls.
Yes. It's so good that it's getting shut down next month.
Oh no.
Whatever. But yeah, it's when it comes like to subscription based MMOs opposed to free to play MMOs, people are like, you know, they're voting with their dollars to be part of this immersive world,
right?
Make it immersive. And that doesn't like every developer thinks that means more updates more often.
Yeah, and I think some developers have tried an idea of what you're talking about. I mean, you see like Cryptic with, you know, their system they have in place where, like, you know, in Neverwinter and Star Strike and everything else, like players can create their own missions. And you get some really cool creative stuff. I remember I played a mission in Neverwinter where I basically played through the story of Wizard of Oz that somebody had created inside Neverwinter. And it was really, really neat. Like there was straight up like the Emerald Castle thing and everything, like all really well built, really well done, well written. And it's cool to see that kind of thing. But when it's all like, you know, instanced off outside the world, done with these external mod tools, like it doesn't feel like, well, I think what we need is we need something similar to that idea. But that's actually directly in the game world, or just, you know, make the systems as open as something like Eve, where players can do kind of whatever they want. And I think this is what something a lot of people were hoping for out of Elder Scrolls is, you know, let me go and like kill this fucking NPC. And if people don't like it, then they're going to do something about it.
Well, and in terms of like people doing something about that, Age of Wushu, I want to say, does have like the whole bounty and player reactionary thing. So some people are doing stuff like that.
Unfortunately, they're just not going into very well made MMOs, as I think the problem. I think a lot of the AAA MMOs, I think they're playing it too safe in that regard.
Age of Wushu is well made, it's just low scale.
Sure.
I disagree.
It is brought to you by Jet Li. Like, the AAA MMOs, I think they just, you know, they have, you know, investment they need to recoup. They want to make sure their game is successful. And so, like, you know, they are kind of, in some cases, you know, checking some boxes. But we're seeing, I think the thing is, like, we're seeing innovation in each one, but unfortunately it's sort of the Madden effect where, like, you know, with Madden each year they add like one new feature, but
what's the new every other system for this year's Madden?
Right, but they neglect like every other feature for that year, and so like that one is all that matters, but the rest of it's kind of shit. I feel like a lot of MMOs have been doing that where, like, you know, this is our new thing, this is our gimmick almost. And you know, it's cool, but then like maybe our combat sucks and our questing kind of sucks.
The Korean MMO Black Desert, I think, like they're another like really cool idea, but the rest of it's crap.
Right.
No,
yeah,
that game looks interesting. But
like the combat looks really, really cool and everything, but then like the questing is super generic Asian MMO questing and the world is kind of interesting, but also
fairly generic fantasy. I think this sort of brings us back to our previous discussion. Like, this is why Nintendo games work, because they're doing the iterating stuff, like all these MMOs are doing, except they have a solid foundation.
Right. They're
building on top of a solid foundation where, say, you have an MMO that introduces, oh, the way they handle guild stuff is really, really neat, but the gameplay mechanics are not great. See,
right.
Sort of bring it back
and this is kind of where I feel like, you know, WildStar has a chance at least, because it does have that kind of foundation of it's very familiar to a WoW player, which is you know, even in this day and age with the dropping subscriptions in WoW, it's still kind of something you want to shoot for if you're making that kind of a game, because they are still the vast majority of people who are potentially interested in a new MMO. But they've made some smart decisions in moving forward. They have they actually have a good combat system in there now that they definitely didn't used to have. Each class definitely plays very differently. They have interesting races. The story is there, but it's not completely in your face like a lot of modern MMOs have been doing.
So WildStar's are the things that are in your face.
WildStar has an attitude that is unfortunate, because I feel like it is the one thing that could potentially like turn people away from that game and not give it its due, which is really, really unfortunate, because I do think it's a quality game finally. I don't know. I think that it's kind of weird, because like we started to see people stop chasing the WoW money in a lot of cases with MMOs, trying different things, less theme parking MMOs, more sandboxy stuff. But then you see like WildStar come out, and it seems like it is very much chasing the WoW dream. But seems like it has actually probably a better chance of succeeding at that than any other game that has released prior, which isn't necessarily terribly surprising considering the people working on it.
Well, and then one other thing that was super important to WoW plus other MMOs I've played, the zones, are they split up or are they one unique thing? Content-wise.
I'm not sure,
from
because
one side of the world to the other.
I'm not sure actually yet, because I haven't played, like, so I played, you know, so here and there.
I've played so much of the game.
I played here and there in the closed beta, but I've been doing a lot of like trying a lot of different classes, trying the two different factions. So I've seen the tutorial areas a lot. I've seen the first zones quite a bit. I have not left the first zone of either faction yet, so I can't tell you.
You're terrible. What else have you been playing?
How that works exactly.
We're done.
I'll take a break from the MMO circuit for a minute to say I have started Dark Souls 2.
Okay.
I'm not very far in.
Not be buying Dark Souls 2.
I played a little bit of Dark
Souls 2. Out of curiosity.
One. Yeah, what? Why would you?
I'm just genuinely curious. I don't care.
Yeah,
it's more of the same. It's a lot of the stuff people claim they wanted, but I'm not sure if it's what people want.
But that doesn't matter. Like, is it what you want?
Well, I'll let you know after June, whatever, when Games for Windows gets shut down. Because like I'm having more fun just playing Dark Souls 1 than Dark Souls 2.
Well, I mean,
it seems pretty easy to not have fun playing a game you're not playing.
Exactly.
I played a little bit of Dark Souls 1, and I've heard Brad talk about Dark Souls on the Bombcast and everything. So, like, I've gleaned a little bit of information here and there, and one thing I have gathered for the most part is that fog doors tend to mean bosses, and that seems to be especially true in the second game.
I'd say about a third of the fog doors mean bosses.
So I started the second game, made my character, and like right after that initial little hut in the things betwixt or whatever it's called area, I came across a fog door. So I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to keep going. I'm not ready to fight a boss yet. So I continue on and continue down this little pathway, find this giant dude, and decide I'm going to try and fight him. And meanwhile, I'm on vent with a friend, and he's played through that area. And when I describe to him where I am, he just begins laughing hysterically. And once he's able to regain his composure, tells me I'm not supposed to be there yet. So naturally, I go and try to kill the guy, and succeed. I did not die in my first attempt at killing this guy. Apparently, I learned after the fact that the fog door that I skipped was the tutorial zone where they teach you how to like dodge roll and how to target and basically how to play the game. So, but the thing I found out is the guy I was fighting, which was in God, I forgot what it's called, like Hild's something or another. I don't know, anybody listening who's played the game knows probably what I'm talking about, where there's like a big dude with a sword and then past him there's a big dude with a mallet.
The Hills Have Eyes, is that what you're
sure doing?
Okay.
The Hills Have Eyes for exploits. So I ended up accidentally finding a way to kind of exploit the guy, and it was very quickly reminded of the change they made between Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2 when I killed him for the 10th time and he didn't respawn. But I got myself a pretty easy, you know, 5,000 souls, like super early and essentially before the tutorial of the game. By basically like, there's a little like, narrow stairway that leads down to this circular, area where he's at. So what I would do is I would just lead him back to the stairs and there's a curve kind of right in the middle of the stairs. And I would run around to the outside of the curve by where it falls off to a cliff as he was hitting that curve. And if he did it just right, he would turn to swing at you and fall off the cliff in instant souls. And there, and then just like to the right of where he was at originally, where he spawns from, there was a bonfire. So I would literally just go back down to that bonfire, respawn him, come back up and do the same thing over and over again. And like I said, I did that like 10 times and then he didn't spawn anymore and I was sad and decided I would never do that again.
Hey guys, this sounds like my type of game. So I need to know how you did that again. And I will totally play that because it is breaking the game.
That's the difference between Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2. Is like Dark Souls 1, you can just keep brute forcing until you power level your way up.
Right.
And after you've done that once, then it becomes like, oh, I actually want to try playing this more difficultly and level up not as much.
Well, okay, so the thing is, like, I killed him legit the first time. So after that, it was literally just, okay, let me see if I can get some easy souls. But like at the same time, like sure, when the first time he didn't respawn, I was kind of sad. But at the same time, I can see why they made that decision, because nothing about that was fun. Like I was not having fun exploiting and getting the souls, especially when it was you know constantly failing and I would have to do it over and over again to do the exploit. But like none of it was fun. It was not a fun way to play the game. And when it ended, it forced me to move on and to continue playing the game. So I definitely see where they got the idea and why it probably is a good idea that they did something like that. But that was basically all I really played of the game. I essentially did that and then went back, did the tutorial section, learned how to play the game, and then stopped playing. So I haven't gone back to it since. But it seems like a pretty quality game. I would say if you enjoy Dark Souls 1, there's no reason you shouldn't play the second one, because sure, it probably is more of the same, but I mean, if you enjoy the game, that's not a bad thing.
Well,
I don't think every sequel has to reinvent themselves.
It's more the stuff people want, but in doing that, we lose some of the stuff we really enjoyed. And I think the biggest argument with my weird phrasing for not wanting to get it is because Miyazaki, not like My Neighbor Totoro Miyazaki, apparently that's just a surname.
Yes, it is.
He did not work on Dark Souls 2 and is instead working on, I want to say, Project Beast?
Right.
Potentially.
Sure.
So if those ruminations are actually true and something like that is in the works, then that'll probably get me more hyped and then I'll end up playing Dark Souls 2 just to sort of pass the time.
Sure.
And again, especially once Games for Windows shuts down, unless there's not like some mod fix to, you know, I might play it as co-op with somebody, but yeah, I'll probably do Dark Souls 2 once that
does. I mean, I would say if nothing else, you know, grab it on a sale or something if you're really, like, not super keen on getting it right now. But it's definitely worth picking up at some point. It seems like a pretty solid game, and they made...
You're going to have to get some PS4 changes to play Project Beast.
It's true. I mean, like, I plan on getting a PS4 for many a game that is not quite out yet.
For like, The Last of Us Remastered Edition or whatever they're calling it?
No, right. I mean, like, more maybe for, like, Journey.
At 1080p.
If Journey gets re-released or something, that'd be a cool thing to play. Hellraisers, the...
What?
that the Magicka dudes?
Yeah, the Magicka dude game with Hell.
The company that no one can ever remember the name of, so Arrowhead? It's just the Magicka guys.
Arrowhead,
no, that's not a real company. It's the Magicka guys.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, those guys. Yep.
So were the previous consoles, PS3 and Xbox 360, only 720p?
Oh, they could do 1080.
They could? Okay.
They could.
Wipeout HD
okay.
was on the PS3 is 1080p 60 frames.
So it was just Microsoft that said we're not going to do 720p with our stuff? Is that what it was?
I mean, it has nothing to do with the manufacturers.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with the people making games for it.
Yeah. And how easy it is to make those games at those frames and still get the frame rate and all that.
Because I was under the impression that for some reason the Xbox One would only do 720p because it wasn't designed to do 1080p or something like that. That's
what I know. No, it is. It's just from what I've gathered, it seems like it's harder to get a stable frame rate at 1080p on Xbox One as developers know how to use it now.
They have some weird memory path going on.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine a year from now this won't be an issue. I imagine at that point a lot of games, most if not all, will probably release for 1080p 30 frames on both consoles.
Okay.
But yeah, it seems like it's just growing pains with the new system.
Yeah, but PS4,
PS4 essentially they can brute force to do 1080. Yeah. The Xbox One they're having a little harder time with.
But I mean, some Xbox games still look really good. Like Insomniac put out stuff for Sunset Overdrive these last couple days, man. And that game looks fantastic.
I'm so sad that that's an Xbox One exclusive.
I am really mad at Ted Price. Like, really mad. I should have said something to him at PAX, because I'm pretty sure he was there.
Past Dark Souls, like I said, I haven't played much of it. I'll check in once I've gotten a little deeper into it. I've played a little bit of another MMO. I'm not sure how much I should even talk about, because I feel like I should play more of it first.
Just the one I'm thinking about, they got back to me and pretty much said, here, go to this forum. And I was really upset with the PR guy.
Go to the forum? That's weird.
Where's this email? Hold on. I need to find it. Because I think he misunderstood what I sent.
You just want to say what the MMO was or is?
Yeah. It's a lot of people are playing it on Twitch, so it's not terribly surprising. But Archage.
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Yeah.
By the same person.
Here we go.
Want me to
read this email?
Yeah, sure. Read it.
Glad to hear you're interested in podcasting about Archage. We've actually set up a forum thread. Forum thread is a link for fans of the game to tell us about their projects designed to spread word about Archage to a larger audience. Be sure to tell us about the plans you have in mind. Thanks for reaching out. And that was the whole response from PR.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they may not have understood that you're not actually in the alpha.
Yeah, because the way I worded it was inquiring about the Archage Alpha, currently recording a gaming-related podcast. One of my fellow hosts recently received entry into the Archage Alpha. I was wondering if there was a way I could receive entry as well so we can discuss it together on the show. Thanks.
Gotcha.
And was their response.
Yeah, I would maybe kick it back to him again. And
this dude is apparently the community manager, so.
Okay. But yeah, like I said, I haven't played a lot of it. I think I'm like level 12, which isn't – it didn't take me very long to get there. But like – I don't know. It's runs on CryEngine 3, which is kind of weird because it doesn't look like it should. But it could – I don't know. It is a very Asian MMO. They clearly have some way to go, I think, with westernizing it, I guess. The combat seems fairly standard. There seem to be some interesting things. One thing I noticed is like you pick your class pretty early on, but it seems like you can kind of subclass very early. So like I can already like I said, I'm like level 12 or something, and I can already like put points into skills for other classes. So I'm playing as like their version of Thief. I forgot what it's called, which also has like some basic bow skills. So I decided then to subclass into Ranger so I could get like better bow skills. So I can like start a fight off with like bleeding a target with a bow shot and then just like shooting arrows at them till they get close and then just like raining death on them with daggers. And that seems pretty cool. The characters look really good in the game. The environment I feel like could use a lot more work. It seems very plain, which is part of the reason I think why it seems odd that it runs on the engine it does, because I expected more detail out of it than that. But one thing I haven't actually been able to go into yet, and this is why I feel like I want to kind of shell the rest of this until later, there seems to be some sort of a judicial system in the game. I don't know.
Like a Terra style?
Well, no, Terra was more of like a political system. This, like, straight up, like, people are marked in chat as defendant and judge and jury. And people are found guilty of crimes and are given sentences of, like, 38 minutes in prison.
Do they go to video game jail? And can they break out of video game jail and become video game outlaws?
That's the part I don't know yet, but I need to find out. Because they definitely
out of jail.
Video game jail. And for
I didn't realize we were talking about the Elder Scrolls Online.
But like straight up, like I saw a dude earlier today, right before we started podcasting, I hopped in there and played a little bit, and like a guy got sentenced to 38 minutes in prison. I don't know what that means, but I need to find out. Because that seems potentially really interesting. And it's all done by players. Like, it's not like mods are handing out these sentences. It is players... as the judges, players as the jury.
I wonder if
players,
that means you can get jury duty.
Like, talk about trolling its finest right there.
I mean, like the... What was it, Riot? Is it
completely League of Legends fit? Has a jury system.
That's
Does it have a jury system, or is it more of like a peer...
That's more for being an asshole.
Well, yeah, well, but it is your peers' kind of review, and after enough people have weighed in on the, it's not a courtroom, it's not a live action thing, but it's after enough people have weighed in and measured you, then.
See, that's the thing. This is all live. This is literally all happening. Like
everything that's happening now is happening now. What happened at then? We passed then. When and just now.
I'm actually seeing it in chat, like the defendant attempting to defend themselves and the jury, doing their thing and the judge handing out the sentencing. Like, it's all just happening in zone chat. It's super fucking weird, and I need to find out more. So I'll check in after I've had more of a chance to actually dig deeper into the game. But that seems like the most interesting part about it so far. You get a mount at like level 6 or 7, so that's kind of... your mount can die if you don't take care of it.
Oh,
and,
no.
And they are very in your...
Stop being interested. When it's a Tamagotchi MMO, no thanks.
I'm more interested. Where's my Pokewalker?
Okay, so is that it for games you've been playing lately?
I played a little bit of Euro Truck Simulator 2.
Okay.
I was actually playing that while...
What's your trucker's name?
I think my trucker's name is just Durin, but his company is Capra Demonics LLC.
Okay. I feel like that's a reference that just went over my head.
Capra Demon?
Oh. Mr. Dark Souls?
Capra Demon?
I heard Cap.
I've never played Dark Souls, but I
heard Capra.
Okay. Yeah. Capra Demonics LLC is the name of his trucking company. But no, I've never had a problem.
Both times I've fought the Capra Demon, I've taken him out first try.
Oh, fuck you. You know what? I'm not talking to you.
You just run around and kill his dogs first and then go for him.
Except the part where he kills you as soon as you come in the goddamn...
Hey, there's this thing where if you carry more gear on you, you slow down more. So I just don't... I'm just running around with like almost nothing on.
All right, well, I...
Pro tips.
So I was playing Euro Truck Sim.
Hold on. Quick question. Is he one of those enemies that sort of becomes a regular enemy later on?
You see him like three or four more. Like, there's three or four more. There's two occasions, one which there's multiple Capra Demons spread about. But yeah, there's about half a dozen Capra Demons in the game.
The issue with that fight isn't really him. It's more so the circumstances of entering the fight. Like, you are... It's very much like split-second decision. If you can make that dodge roll out of the way, you're pretty much golden for the rest of the fight as long as you don't make any dumb mistakes.
Yeah, it's more managing, like, you know, evading the dogs, which are rushing you. And they slow, like, if they hit you, you get, like, knocked back effect sort of thing. And then the Capra Demon comes in and one-shots you. Which, again, like, that and Smorn and Augstein are, like, the two multi-person fights with Dark Souls. And then apparently Dark Souls 2... They like lean more heavily into that, like, okay, well, these can have a lot more fights of multi-person, and so yeah, it's
double boss fights are probably within my top five of things I hate in video games most.
But yeah, he got the name of the company because he is the reason I stopped. Or okay, he's not necessarily the reason I stopped playing the game, but he is where I stopped playing that game at. I was playing it while I was playing some D&D because you can play Euro Simulator completely mindlessly. I was doing like a 4-hour run, and like while playing D&D, and like run went completely smooth the whole way, and then like about 20 minutes after I finished the D&D session, I apparently at some point, like in the last probably 10 or 15 minutes of the run, I guess must have hit something. I don't know. I don't remember hitting anything, but it was bad enough that I then like took an experience penalty and a monetary penalty, such that I literally gained nothing off of that 4-hour nice. Run.
Did you?
And I shut that game down.
Did you call Adele?
What?
No, it's okay. You didn't watch the Giant Bomb Quick Look.
Oh God! Oh, I forgot. That's wow. That's been a while.
Yep, I didn't pick up on that either.
That's what sold me on Euro Truck Simulator, was that Quick Look.
But
people right now listen to the podcast. I
did that run. I apparently made that mistake. I owned my mistake. I saved the game and then I closed it.
Wow. I just want to say it seemed like that was the second time third tonight you brought the podcast almost to a screeching halt.
I had that effect. But no one else wants to host, so
that is my games are that are those are my games for the last couple weeks. For the most part, I don't think I really played anything else.
All right, I guess it's down to me now. What I've been playing?
Hey, third. What are you playing, dude?
How many times have you launched Spelunky?
Not that much. I mean,
good. You're off. The hunk.
No, I'll still play it every now and then. It's more so I have a couple friends who have picked it up and just sort of like, you know, hold their hand a little bit, like have fun with them. I start recording the daily challenges again just so they can compare and improve.
Have you been teaching them Bat Tech?
No, though I did watch, weird shout out to A. Mariner, I think is how his name's pronounced, of the Giant Bomb community, as well as I think Idle Thumbs community, who was streaming Spelunky with a friend, and I had him teach that person Bat Tech.
I like how Bat Tech has sort of become this nebulous term for anything related with Dave Lang. And
despite the new Batman game trying to like push their Bat Tech, as they call it, and it's like, no. Dave Lang's got that.
But if you had, in that Batman game, if you had Dave Lang in the bat suit,
what if Dave Lang was Batman?
I play it.
It's just like every time he achieves a combo, he just says, get bopped.
Yep. I mean, it'd be a Flash game, but I'd play it.
Yeah.
Works on PS4. GFB edition.
Yeah. I can talk a little bit about Betrayer, which I've played a handful amount of.
Which one is that?
That is, it's a game made by a bunch of devs from a previous game thing. I don't want to say BioShock.
Is that the black and white one?
Yeah, that is the black and white one.
Okay, so what is your take on that? Because I know that John Bob seem kind of cold on that game.
It was neat.
I was kind of unsure.
It seemed like it was very much a, we're just going to let you loose in this world and not really hold your hand at all. So I don't really know what to do in a game that seems like they're trying to tell a story about a place. I've wandered into a village. I've been able to change day to night. Stuff happens. I've talked to ghosts and I've shot like skeletons with guns.
So it's a narrative driven story or narrative driven game that is open ended.
Yes. Like it seems like there's the main story of what's happening with the village as well as what's happening with the people who used to live there, as well as what happened with the lands, and like there's Native Americans. I don't know. I'm roughly like an hour or two into this. So yeah, I don't know.
Most of the reviews that I've seen were not super hot. God, this is terrible. Just they weren't super hot.
Yeah, it's definitely something you might want to just like pick up on sale. It looks really cool. If you like the whole like black and white theme of stuff, or even if you don't like that, there's actually a scaler to change it back to color, and the color looks pretty good that way. But yeah, I'll keep trying. I'll give it a couple more tries. I don't know. It reminds me vaguely of Mirror's Edge, just with the whole like things of importance are highlighted in red.
Okay.
Which is a thing Mirror's Edge did.
I know. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
I never have touched that game again.
I would be like, you know, scanning the hillside looking for weird things in red. I don't know. Yeah, that's a thing. Another thing is Kentucky Route Zero had their third act.
Yeah, I saw that.
It didn't grab me as much as the second act did, and I think that's part of that is it's less a game, and it's not even really a adventure story because all your choices more or less follow the same path. You're maybe putting a bit more spin on your take on the story, but the main plot still, you know, follows its course. So it's more like just a bunch of people who want to like make a movie but don't really have the budget to make something crazy. So they're making this game instead, and I'm on board with it. It's cool. But it's getting weirder and weirder. And so I guess I'm just along for the ride now, but I'm just like, what's going on?
Like, weird as in you're interested, or weird, like, it seems like they're doing weird for the sake of weird.
It seems weird for the sake of weird, but there's stuff just like, okay, yeah, sure.
That almost never works. Doing weird for the sake of weird?
Yeah.
In any storytelling medium.
Yes, but I've committed so much time to this, and it's just two more acts to go. I've already paid for it. I might as well play those out and see how they go. I'm kind of hoping that all the weirdness circles back on itself and it all makes sense, but I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know what it is with me, but like, you know, you said you so put so much time in it, you know, should see it through. I don't know what it is, but I never feel that way. Like, as a dumb example, I watched Lost when it was on. Up until halfway point of the last season, and then stopped, and I still haven't seen the finale.
Oh yeah, it's actually it's a weird thing because it doesn't always work. I want to say Donkey Kong 64, which goes it's a ways back, but I did everything up to stopping the main boss's plan to like destroy the island, but never bothered beating the boss because I was just sort of like, he's gonna come back in the next game, whatever. I followed his plan this time. Job done.
There's a lot of games I found that I played up to like just the end, and I never completed.
See, I do that, but not so much like up to the end. But for me, it's more so like I'll play a game up to a point where it's clear that they have shown all their cards. There's nothing new to come out of this game at this point. It's just, you know, ride it along through the third act, I guess, and that's where I end up stopping most games. Like, as long as they can keep introducing new things, I'll keep playing. But as soon as that stops and it's just, okay, now you have everything, now play through the rest of the game, I immediately just, I'm kind of done.
Yep. And I guess this last thing, I mean, I could talk about Arma if you guys want.
Meh. Have you been doing that Zeus stuff?
We have been doing that Zeus stuff. We being the Giant Bomb PC gaming community.
I get those goddamn notifications every day.
Yeah, it's
I should really leave that group.
It should only be every Saturday when those happen.
Explain me what the Zeus. I don't know what this is, so
So what we've been doing previously is we'll all get together and like, since it does have workshop support and people can craft these missions, but it's sort of like, you know, making a single player campaign or multiplayer campaign. Like, it's. They have to craft them all ahead of time And so you're pretty much stuck on this one narrative course. And if you try and look behind the curtain, there's, you know, you see dumbness. And what Zeus does is you get that same level of creatability, but you can do it on the fly. And so it's like playing Dungeons and Dragons with guns in Arma. Like it's, we have two campaigns going, telling the story of a squad. Like it's one is this one squad and the other is this other squad. And they're not related at all. They're just two people who want to make these stories and have these weird, you know, missions where we have to, you know, sneak in and assassinate this guy or escape from a bunch of like, you know, tanks or something that are coming to, you know, wipe us out.
Now, is there, I hesitate to say role playing because it's a shooter, but are there like role playing segments as in like,
we don't role play and I'm going to use role play in the term of like, there are people who actually use like legit military terms. And
no, I'm not talking about that. I mean, just sort of like downtime, like you would have in like a tabletop RPG where you're not necessarily kind of out fighting dudes. Yeah. Like you're not necessarily out fighting dudes. You're sort of, you know, in town or back at base.
Do you guys occasionally shoot the shit as characters?
We will, while people are getting their gear together, shoot shit, or while people are getting the radio mod that we use working, we will shoot the shit and talk.
Are you shooting the shit like in character?
No, not really. I mean, most of these sessions usually last an hour to 2 hours.
Okay.
Once a week. So I think that's on par with most D&D games, shorter than D&D games run.
Wait, D&D games only run for an hour or two?
No, D&D games run longer than an hour.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yes.
The Arma games run like 4 hours. Shorter. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, every Sunday night, 4 hours.
But we do use terms like we'll split into squads and have like a squad leader for each, like, or a fire team for each, you know, team and all that. And we'll use loose amount of terms only because in a practical sense, they make sense.
Yeah.
And us being able to choose our own course to the, like, you know, objective that the Zeus has given us, and then him having to react to those things in interesting ways is neat. And if you guys, if anybody has Arma and wants to try it out, go to giantbomb.com. It's a website about video games, and you can look up on the Arma 3 subforum of that and join us, I guess. I don't know. Things.
Has Arma split off into more than it was ever intended to be? Than just like military. Well, so when I first saw Arma, it was like a junky military style game. Then it got better. And then 3 came out, and then there was what was like the seaside or like the beach thing?
Altus Life.
Yeah, Altus Life. Of. Right. Okay, and then so now there's this mod, and it seems like it's coming into more of a mod community than it was.
It's turning into a bit more militaristic version of Garry's Mod. Because it's just this sandbox engine that you can do whatever with, people have made, like, you know, they've made DayZ, which turned into its own thing. There's something called Wasteland, which is effectively like the Arma version of DayZ, even though I think Breaking Point is the Arma version of DayZ. But it's like you are just, you know, there's your soldiers either by yourself or in squads, and you can, like, just, you run around and shoot each other. And it's deathmatch, or you can join as a team and still do deathmatch. Then there's Altus Life, which you either choose to be a civilian, drug dealer, or policeman. And you have tasks you can do or should do. Like, if you want to drive around a car, you have to spend money to get a license. And if you don't have a license, then the police will stop you and arrest you and search you for drugs.
Contraband.
I have not actually done any of this, but just read about it. That's a weird thing.
It'd be interesting if you could be like a CI in that mod.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of, I don't know, I think it's kind of cool and weird that it has become bigger than itself in a weird way in that aspect. So it's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah. I like that Arma exists. I don't like that they want $60 for it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, just add on your wish list and hopefully they'll drop it to a price that you can dig.
I know I won't put in enough time to justify any significant amount of money. I just know myself well enough.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, that's, I mean, that's something I've still been doing and going back to, only because I'm just, you know, waiting for the next big thing, whatever it may be, to pull my interest. Some of that
Transistor.
Maybe, yeah. Is that this week?
Wait, did you play Bastion?
Yes.
That's 1 week, 3 days, and 14 hours.
Yes, I did play Bastion.
Transistor is the 20th, yep.
But yeah, like I'll play that and then I'll go back to look for something. Something else that I've been casually, not like sort of working on is, you know, the Kerbal Space Program, which I think I talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, to anybody who doesn't know, I'm racing my coworker to Duna, which is Kerbal's version of Mars. And there's no like, you know, to Mars and back. It's just get on the planet without crashing, get a Kerbal on the ground alive.
Oh, okay. You can't just sort of like full steam ahead, crash into the planet.
No. See, the thing is like once you get to to Duna orbit, you're pretty much set. I'd like to think.
Theoretically.
No way, man. Just strap all the rockets and just go for it.
Well, you'd think that. And I've sent multiple craft out with all the rockets. And it's a very hard thing to do. Partly because, like, if you want to do that, you have to strap even more rockets on your ship to get those rockets and all the fuel they need to get to Duna to get out of the atmosphere.
Oh, okay.
And I spent like an hour and a half to 2 hours last week just trying to set up a space station and trying to get two things several kilometers from the planet going however fast to try and meet without crashing into each other. And yeah, space is really freaking hard.
Yeah, I've yet to actually break orbit in that game.
It's you should you we talked last and you said you hadn't tried it since before the recent update.
Right.
Not so recent, I guess it was like a month ago. You should definitely touch back into it because like the standard route, I have no problem getting out of orbit.
Well, I think it's one of those things that like once you have figured out the trick, I guess, like once you have a better understanding of what the parts do and what, you know, what works well with what and all that, I imagine, like, I guess once you have broken orbit, it's probably very easy to continue doing so. It's just a matter of learning that.
The other thing is also the scale, because, like, you and also, like, Vinny, when I see him play a lot, builds on the scale of, like, the space shuttle, which is 50 meters tall. Like, I think it's, like, 46. But like
all the rockets.
Yeah. But you put all the rockets there. And like, you know, it's 2-3 stage. Right. The Saturn V was 140 meters. So I make my rocket go all the way to the roof when I build it.
Oh. So you're saying more rockets.
Tall. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily the same number of rockets, just more fuel and more rockets.
Okay, so
I actually have a live stream of building a monstrosity where I was testing to try and get like nuclear. It was standard fuel rockets to try and get out of Kerbal orbit, but then using nuclear rockets to get to Duna, which got me close again. But it's still the other issue is like trying to slingshot yourself to somewhere where you can't. Trying to throw a dart towards a board you can't see. Because once you get out of Kerbal orbit, once you get to orbit out of Kerbal atmosphere, then you can use a way to like, you know, judge your trajectory and change your path and all that. But it's like it only goes so far, which is effectively to the moon or something.
It only goes so far. I heard that you could probably make it further if you add more rockets.
No, I mean like the dotted line that shows how your path will change. It only projects so far on the map, on the grid.
I mean, I assume the line projects further if you move further out?
Yeah, if I get further away from Kerbin, then it will expand and judge more.
What I'm saying is, to get there quicker, so you can see the line quicker, you need more rockets.
I would need more rockets. But no matter how, like,
and add more rockets.
I could have all the rockets, but that still probably wouldn't be as useful as using all those rockets while slingshotting away from the planet, which would get me a lot more speed.
So what you're saying is you need to get rockets into space
Yes.
And then add more rockets.
Exactly.
You need rockets on the planet so the planet spins faster so you get slingshotted further.
Yeah, I know. You know what? Just move the planet over to Duna and just crashed into it.
So, here's my theory. You launch a rocket. You launch another rocket that's going to intersect it in its trajectory that has been pre-planned, and it knocks it off course, throwing it further, and that's it.
So
you don't actually achieve your goal. You just sort of get knocked off course.
Yeah.
So basically you're playing pool with rockets.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Eight ball in the corner planet.
Corner pocket.
But between that and like seeing the crazy stuff people have done, like they've made Mon Calamari sized and sort of looking cruisers. If anybody knows their Star Wars, just like not even like built in space. These things are built on land. And are then, like, through weird, like, mechanics, like, shot off the Earth into space. And are just going, going to the edge of the solar system. Whatever, it's fine.
I like the taste of calamari.
It is good, oh, yeah.
I don't.
I haven't actually tried it. I probably wouldn't like it. But, yeah, those are just some of the things I've been doing lately in video games.
If you like that pizza that you had at PAX, you would like calamari.
What?
I don't know if I like that pizza.
What pizza? I don't remember.
PAX was so long ago.
Wait, no, the Domino's?
Wait. The morning pizza. The breakfast pizza that we had.
Was I involved in this?
No.
Oh, whoa.
Which day was this? Where was this at?
The one we checked out and you ordered the pizza.
Oh, yeah, that place.
Yeah.
The one I couldn't actually eat all of. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like that pizza, you'd like calamari. It's a very complex pizza.
Okay, yeah. Like that. Sounds good.
I don't like calamari. I don't like most seafood.
Fried calamari is the best.
Definitely. I just want to say, while we were talking about this, I purchased Hack and Slash and Postal 2 on Steam. So, yeah.
So, okay. So
are you going to add Kerbal Space Program to that list of purchases?
No, not yet.
Actually, I'd say add on the wish list because had I known you were this interested in it, or at least vaguely interested in it, it was on sale earlier this week.
Yeah, I'm
like 40% off.
That will be a Steam summer sale for me, because I find myself whenever there's a quick look about it, I watch it intensely and I pick out things that they should do that I'm like, why didn't you do that? And I find myself doing that more and more every time I watch one on Unprofessional Friday or whatever it is. So I do want to get it and prove them wrong and stuff. So
yeah, but that is a really fun game and. I'm glad that it's like it probably won't go on sale for too much because it's still getting a ton of people to try it out all the time. And yeah, it's a cool thing. I can't wait till they add multiplayer and
trying to imagine. No, it's going to be such chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glorious chaos.
Oh, like, man.
You guys think chaos in one sense, but the other sense is like once you get out of orbit, you use time warp a lot of the time to boost and like. How that mechanic is going to play into multiplayer, I don't know, but it's going to be weird.
So your time warp might not affect other people's time warp and you move faster?
Actually, there's someone has already gone ahead and made a mod that is multiplayer, and the way they handle it is like you are a different time shard than the other person, and if you want, you can like if one person links it like jumps ahead 10 hours or something, they will show where that person is at, and you can choose to jump forward and stop at that 10 hours and join them, or just keep doing what you're doing. It's weird. It crashes a lot.
All right. So okay. Do we talked about possibly going into news stuff. We've kind of talked about a bit of it throughout this podcast. Is there anything that we want to touch?
There's only one thing that we must discuss, because there are three of us here. I own a 3DS, which means will be chosen.
I thought you guys were going to talk about the new fish simulating game with Kevin Spacey.
That's not what's important.
House of Cod? You're not a fan of that?
What's important here is, are you guys Team Omega Ruby or Team Alpha Sapphire? I must know.
So I know my answer, but it does not mean that I'm going to purchase this game. Because I keep getting tricked with Pokemon games, and everybody buys them, so I buy one, and then I don't play them.
What do you mean getting tricked?
Like, I'm tricked into thinking that I'm going to play them. But if I do buy one, it'll absolutely be Omega Ruby.
Okay.
Because that is the only true game.
Fuck you.
What?
Because you know my answer to this.
Of course it's Sapphire.
And it is Sapphire, but not because you guys chose Ruby, but because I like Sapphires more than Ruby, and I never played either of the games.
That's fair.
So I'm picking it based on I like the gem Sapphire better.
I'm going with Ruby because I played Ruby originally. It's not that I actually like Groudon, the cover mascot from Ruby. I actually think both the Ruby and Sapphire mascots, Groudon and Kyogre, are both really dumb. I don't like either of them.
That's actually most of the cover mascot legendary things.
Oh, Xerneas is great. Actually, both X and Y are very good.
Well, like so, I said, most. Most of them are pretty bad, though.
Do we think they're going to remake the original games?
They already did.
No, but on the 3DS.
I was actually talking about this with someone the other day, because this means that, in theory, the only gen you cannot play in any capacity on a 3DS is Gen 1.
And that's what I remember the most. I never finished it, and I would love them to re-release it so I could play it again and go.
They won't do that because they won't do that because they're going to release it as a virtual console instead.
No, because
on the Wii U.
Exactly, because on the Wii U.
That's what they're going to do. If you want to play it, you have to buy a Wii U.
Fuck you.
I don't make these rules. These guys are Earthbound on the Wii U. What?
Fire Red was pretty good.
I read one pretty good.
Soul Silver's pretty good. I'm stuck on.
I'll probably play it on the Wii U.
Fucking Miltank.
Fucking
I hate Miltank.
So guys, how about those ET cartridges in the desert?
No, I don't care about that. This is Pokemon discussion time.
Well,
no, I'm actually kind of done with Pokemon discussion time. We pick our sides.
I could comment on that because those cartridges are crap anyway. Nobody cares about them. Nobody cared about the game at the time. So why is it so important that they went out there and dug a hole like some entitled
because
and
some
they found them
because some fucking weird myth started around that, even though like there was it was in the news that that happened, there was, you know, there was actual documentation that it happened, and yet somehow people were still like, no, it totally trash.
It takes that for general news market to pick it up and go, hey guys, in gaming something great happened today, we found games that were irrelevant back really then happened, and now
I just like more when everyone like it only was up until the reveal that they had been found that people realized that like, oh, when they said buried in New Mexico meant buried among a pile of garbage.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it wasn't like they went out in the middle of the fucking desert and like dug a big ass hole and dropped them in there. They were in a fucking landfill. And the only reason they were buried is because kids were digging them up. So they fucking covered them up with concrete. I don't know what is weirder about it, the fact that this was actually like considered news, or the fact that it is like Microsoft that is doing this. Like Microsoft is the one chronicling this this piece of gaming history,
and it will be exclusively rights to Showtime from what we're
also
seeing now,
how so. The fuck are they getting away with naming this documentary Atari Game Over? Like how is Atari not stepping up? Like how is Atari not stepping up? Like, hey, that reflects negatively on our company. Oh, they absolutely exist.
They're a software company.
Yeah. Like how do they not come out and be like, hey, that reflects negatively on our company. You can't use that name.
Because for Atari, any good news is at least news to them, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
isn't Atari basically a holdings company at this point?
I think they went pretty much into like mostly mobile stuff after the Alone in the Dark debacle. I think that was the last big game they did.
Yeah.
Which they were, I think even before that came out, they were already saying they were going to be going towards the mobile side. Which, I mean, as far as I know, they're still around, so maybe it's doing well for them. I don't know.
Atari.
I mean, mobile developer might as well be a holding company.
So
was it Atari as a whole, or was it like?
It was Atari as a whole.
Okay, well, who knows?
Atari Incorporated.
Okay. Okay, so apparently maybe mobile didn't do so hot for them. Don't think.
It was the beginning of last year, so who knows at this point?
Yeah. Wikipedia probably knows.
Oh, that's where I'm on.
So. Oh, okay. yeah, I don't know. Is there any other news? Anyone?
Atari SA is an international French holding company.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Its subsidiaries include Atari London Studio, Eden Games, Atari Interactive, Atari Incorporated, and Humongous.
I mean, I don't really want to talk about the Oculus stuff because we've already talked about enough dumb stuff in the news.
Yeah.
I'm going to say let's not talk about E3 predictions, even though it's only a month away, in the hopes that we'll
record. Time.
This makes us want to record something beforehand to predict games and stuff.
Last Guardian.
Yeah. Okay. No prediction.
I'm not saying whether or not it's going to be there. I'm just saying
the Last Guardian.
You're just putting those three words together.
Yeah.
Okay. In no way referencing a PS3 game.
What's that? I think you're making that up.
Okay.
That's not a real thing.
Since some people may be AFK, we're going to go around to other people to do plugs. And I'm going to choose Shimboy first, since he just...
Oh, God. I don't have any plugs prepared.
What about music?
Guys. Sure. I'll wait till Squirrel gets back for that. Because he listened to part of it as well.
Okay. So...
How soon is this podcast going to be going up?
Probably Tuesday.
Okay. It might be too late for this, but... I will plug the giantbomb.com/promotion where they are celebrating Happy Mother's Day by giving out $35 premium memberships for the next 1,326 people. So you have to act 1,325 people. So you have to act quick.
Did you just buy one?
No, I didn't actually. I refreshed the page. Every time they do one of these sales, I've thought about getting it because, you know, it is a pretty cheap deal and everything. But I actually, honestly, I really do prefer to just give them the $5 a month because in the long run, they actually make more money off of it anyway. And I don't care about $5 a month.
But you do care about the fact that yearly memberships get that discount on shirts and you want that discount as well.
That's because I want shirts. That's completely... It's more so I feel like there's
You could just easily give them the $60 thing and then just pay full price for a shirt and probably equal out the same.
You could just pay them $50 and
if I really wanted to, I can just go pay them money in the tip jar. I think so. What I was more so about, Thurb, is just more so the idea. Like, it doesn't really bother me that much personally. And that's why after your message, like I didn't actually message Rory or anything, but it was more so just the idea that like the people who actually pay more money don't get any kind of fringe benefits from it, whereas the people who technically pay less money but more upfront do.
It's because they don't expect people to do that. They have a service for people who do that. It's called yearly memberships.
Right, right. And like I said, that's why I literally mentioned that to you in a one-off comment, not expecting you to go to Rory about it.
When you said, yeah, I'm sorry, you said, if I ever go to PAX, I'm going to want to go to Rory and ask him this. And I was like, oh, well, I'll do that for you.
I don't remember saying that, but maybe I did. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's nothing that really bothers me that much personally. Like, I'm not, like I said, if it bothered me that much, I would buy the $35 membership and then just go buy a t-shirt.
All right, well, I'm too lazy to do editing, so we should just hurry on with plugs.
All right. So yeah, giantbomb.com/promotion, $35 premium membership does not come with a t-shirt coupon. So essentially you're essentially getting the same amount of money's worth of stuff as you would if you paid the $50 and got a $15 voucher. So go buy this and then go buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, but we cannot speak any more highly than we already do, but we probably could, of how awesome the premium content is on giantbomb.com.
1,322.
Oh, they're going fast.
Going fast.
Shimboy, you said you had a music plug. Now that
I also forgot that I'm pretty sure there's a big Humble sale going on right now.
Yes,
Humble that everyone should check out. Humble Spring sale.
Sale's going on. The Humble bundle is with comic books right now, and the Humble weekly sale, though it's probably going to change by the time this goes up, is about horror games. With
It's not all the time they do a big sale, so I figured I'd mention that.
Yeah.
And also, my music plug, Squirtle, you listened to part of this. Is the new Epica album, The Quantum Enigma, is pretty good. If you are into super over-the-top symphonic metal. They do a weird thing where they have a female main vocalist who is a classically trained soprano. At least I believe she's classical. She's definitely in the soprano range. Well, they also have one of their guitarists doing like death growls, and they sort of use them to contrast each other. And it's pretty good. I like this album a lot. Yeah.
Nice. Squiddle, since you've been here this whole time, what was your plugs in our music?
Squiddle back in. Squiddle's back in. Uh-oh.
Oh, he's really quiet. Squiddle, I think you're muted.
You put back into Skype chat, but you're not here.
I can hear him ever so vaguely.
He's very quiet. Squiddle, are you there? No. Come back into orbit.
You're very quiet.
We can hear you saying hello. It just sounds like you're in the other room.
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
A little bit louder.
Did you like switch PCs or something?
No, I didn't. Hello?
Did you like...
Is this better? Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay, sorry.
Get up on there.
I have two plugs. For those of you who don't know, I have...
Why are you guys making me have to edit this?
You don't have to edit it. It's fine.
No, don't edit it. I have been an avid vapor since 2009. I would like to bring something to my closing information here. My juice for the cast that I've been vaping is Castle Long by Five Ponds Vapor or fivepawns.com. I love it. Just got it today. It's a great, great vape.
The Linking Cast as a whole does not support the taking of nicotine.
God damn it. Shut up. And
okay, so on that note, Thurb, I would like to point out for people who maybe don't know, you can vape without nicotine.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
You can do zero nicotine.
Very much so. No, I'm just stating.
I don't mean to interrupt. I don't mean to interrupt your plug. I'll let you get back to your plug.
Again, asterisk on my asterisk.
I don't mean to be Kanye here.
Thank you, Durin.
But I actually recently looked into and got myself one as well. And
oh god,
it's pretty.
Hey, so look how society as a whole has taken a hard turn and just assumed that everyone who vapes is a giant douche.
I actually stopped there on my way back home today and picked up another juice. And I'm not really big into the nicotine. I actually would be okay with not having any in there at all. But the one I got, that they only had like, it was like 6 milligrams and above. So yeah. I was like, okay, give me 6.
Okay.
So they quickly sell the stuff to me because they're actually closed at the time. But they went ahead and let me buy it because I knew what I wanted. Got home, like put it in there and everything. And,
trying to get that juice right after closing.
And was like, oh God, that hurts. I looked down at it because she gave me an 18 milligram, not a 6.
Yeah.
That was unexpected.
And that's what I've been vaping for since 2009. But
the hard 18.
I could go on for hours on this. I will not. I will save everybody. Durin, if you want to talk to me about it, I will gladly give you all my tips and share stuff with you.
Did the two of you guys and anybody else who we know that vapes, you guys want to do a special vaping episode?
We can. I would be down for it, definitely.
I'm just going to be super judgmental the whole time. It'll be great.
The non-vapers are just not – anybody who wants to, you know, curious about it or learn more about it from an educational standpoint, I guess we could do. We'll just tack it on as a second part of a second episode for a week so that way it doesn't show up on everybody's immediate RSS.
Sure. I mean, I'd be down for it if you want to. Definitely. So
I would absolutely be willing to learn more about it.
Look in the future for that episode, which may or may not happen, along with the 50th anime episode or whatever that was.
Oh,
geez. Speaking of anime, I'm sitting here watching this Hatsune Miku concert, and it's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
God damn it. So my final plug for this evening, at least for me, is going to be I forgot the name of it after all this bullshit that went on at the end here. The Life and Times of Scrooge, done by the keyboardist, and I can't remember his name.
It's like a Tomas
something
crazy Finnish name.
The keyboardist from Nightwish, who is the story writer or teller of all their songs, did his own solo album based off of the comic book, I believe, or is it book or comic book?
It's a comic book, I believe,
of Scrooge McDuck. And it is absolutely phenomenal. I absolutely enjoy it, love it, and definitely worth checking out. A lot of it is instrumental, but that guy can do instrumental like nobody's business. So it is definitely worth trying it out and recommend it highly.
Cool.
If you're sort of off put by us talking about metal a lot, it is not that at all. There's a lot of piano, actually.
Yeah, definitely. It's more melodic than type thing in it. So
my really wish is never that anyway, but still. It's not metal at all, really.
Yeah.
I might have to check that out
then. A lot of orchestral arrangements.
Yep.
I guess my music plug will be Canyon.mid. Which is music from music from classic Windows versions available on the internet.
Oh, I didn't realize we were required to have a music plug. I guess I should plug that in. Real quickly, my music plug would be the '90s Summer Jams station on Pandora.
It's good. It's good. Good cut. I like it. It's nice.
Notorious B.I.G. pops up occasionally. It's pretty good.
And I guess my plug is Produced, which you can find on Vinnie Caravella's YouTube channel or in our links.
So I want you to know that I wrote that down in the show notes as hashtag produced in all caps.
Yep.
that was an awesome thing to witness.
Edutainment panel.
It was really funny when young Bozzy over there was sitting down. I took a picture of him sitting, like looking super contemplative all by himself. And he didn't realize that Brad sat down right next to him until Vinny called out Brad.
I want to, personally thank Squiddle for not only identifying Drew and Brad, or Drew and
Ian.
Danny O'Dwyer and Ian.
Yeah.
We're all sitting in one end of the chairs. Yeah, people just didn't notice and kept sitting in the front rows, and he's just like, "Yeah, Connor, just sit next to Drew. It's fine."
No, I had this weird moment. I really wanted to sit next to Drew for some weird
reason. That's strange.
I know. it's like that whole thing. Like you want to be next to a celebrity, and I was like, "Oh, can I sit?" And he got in there. I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna let him have his moment. He's gonna sit next to him, and I will just live off of the I'll live vicariously through Thurb while he sits next to, and it may be weird, I get that, but hey, you don't meet a celebrity every day.
And all I did was call Danny O'Dwyer out for wearing a shirt I'd never seen him wear before.
Yeah.
And he owned like three shirts. We had like a little bit of a tough back and forth, me arguing over his attire. And the panel started. That was it. All right.
So I met Blow, and he was looking super contemplative at Blow, so I left him alone.
Wait, he did some Blow? I didn't see that.
Yeah, so he did some Blow at Cappy Games with Super Time Force. At
the Capybara Games.
Yeah. Nice.
All right, thanks for listening to this week, month's time frames episode. Sorry for the drought.
I'm out of school now, so I'm free as a bird.
I did some Blow with a guy named Cappy once.
Wait, is Freebird your plug?
Freebird is no, I already made my music plug, silly goose.
Oh, okay.
It's a Hatsune Miku card.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh god.
Oh
god.
Hit this now.
Thank you for what do you think I've been trying to do?
Bye. You have the power.
This is it. Yes.
XU command edit stop now.
Yeah, no, the flavor I tried to get this time was something called Cup of Jolt. So it's just very, very
coffee. Yeah.
I'm going to go back on Mumble.
Strong.
What happens when your kid wants to take a huff of your pipe?
No.
So actually, you should mention that. No, funny you should mention that because my wife has
not funny I should mention that. You're getting him hooked on the hump.
No. My wife has one as well, and she she gets the zero
nicotine. Thurb is turned into super judgmental Thurb right now.
she gets the zero nicotine one. Like there's no nicotine in hers.
She totally be recording this right now.
Mostly because
I am.
Mostly because she is breastfeeding, so obviously you don't want to be taking nicotine while you're doing that.
Yeah, that's the real hunk of dunk.
Yeah, but hers is bubblegum flavored. And we had it in the car, actually, on our way to the vape store to go pick up some other stuff. And my son smelled it, and he asked what that was. We told him it was bubble gum. Well, he's 3 years old, so he thinks we're drinking it. I try to explain to him, no, we're not drinking it, whatever. And then we told him it's bubble gum, and he decides he wants bubble gum too. So we're like, shit, okay. This isn't really bubble gum. This tastes like bubble gum. We're going to go to the store and buy you some bubble gum.
Yeah.
So we just went and got him some bubble gum, and he got to chew that, and then he made a mess out of it and got it taken away from him. But that's how we deal with it is, you know, he decided he wanted that. And it's the same as like with you know, alcoholic drinks. Like I'll have a mixed drink on my desk, and he'll come over and ask if he can have some. And I'll tell him, no, this is a daddy drink.
Yeah.
And so he knows, okay, no, I can't have any of that. It's the same idea. I explained that to him. I told him, you know, this is for mommies and daddies when talking about the vaporizer.
I can send you a link to a bunch of people. I can tell you for hours on stuff. So we need to do – you and I need to do something.
Just like, 2 minutes. 2 minute podcast it up. Arrow pointing down style.
Yeah. The one issue I have with vapors and vaping is this just getting one step closer to society. Like you walk into a bar or something and it's just like walking into Mos Eisley Cantina. Everyone's vaping.
You say this as if it's a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah, I mean, it's not like, okay.
I don't want to get my arm chopped off by a Jedi.